Blog Talk Radio.
By Morelia Python's forum, www.moreliapythons.com. I'll go over there and check it out. And we also proud sponsor of ICAST, the International Collective Arboreal Symposium, which we are just days away from. It's finally here, Owen. And we got Buddy. He's going to be coming on in 1 second to give us the final update. It's just going to be an awesome time. I can't wait. We got Zach and Dave standing by as soon as we get past with Buddy, and we're going to be doing the Morelia Roundtable. We're going to be talking about morphs, the pros and cons.
Several topics.
Seems like some of that seems to be going around.
Yeah.
I'm going to tie it all into the whole U.S. Arc thing at the minute. So expect the passion to be flowing tonight, Owen.
Oh, Lord, freaking mercy.
Another topic that we're going to hit on is the are you a Facebook person or a forum person? It seems that Facebook has become the new vehicle of choice for people today. But I think you lose something with that. But we'll get into that as we go. The pros and cons of pedigrees. Why should you have them? And I have a thread over on Morelia Python Forum today that I saw. That ties into
I should go weigh in on that. Yeah, I should go weigh in on your pedigree stuff. Let me go in. It all sucks. Sorry.
That's kind of what we got going on. But I think
night.
The biggest. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on.
Right.
We're going to be, I hope this is Buddy, and we're going to bring him on and get him going. Buddy, is that you?
That's me.
Hey, buddy, how's it going?
It's going great. How about you guys?
We're doing good.
Excellent. Sounds like a fun time already on Morelia Python Radio.
That's right.
Always a fun time over
yes,
here.
Yes, it is. You know, just wanted to say thanks again for allowing me to come on and talk a little about ICAST. Thank you both for your support for ICAST. We certainly appreciate your sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
It's been
mm-hmm.
a tremendous help to us in more ways than you will ever know. So I just thought I'd say thank you before I begin my little talk on ICAST. I've got a couple of updates.
Awesome.
First thing is, on Sunday, as I talked about before, we definitely got Dr. Ben Morales coming with his ultrasound, and he's going to do an ultrasound demonstration. It's going
nice.
To be a mix of both a PowerPoint presentation and a hands-on presentation. We believe we have a couple of female snakes lined up that do have some follicles growing, so hopefully he can show
no
us
way.
How he, yeah, how about that?
That's cool how that worked out.
Yes.
Nice.
And Dr. Marie Rush, the vet, who's also one of our speakers, we've been in contact with her, and we've asked her if she'd be willing to do some vet demonstrations for us. And, of course, she said she would love to do it. And she has taken that ball and is running with it. And she has her own thoughts and ideas of what she thinks would be appropriate for folks at our level of herpetoculture to know and be able to do. So
awesome.
That should be an interesting hands-on demonstration. T-shirts are being printed as we speak. I've got the
cool.
banners here. We have a few minor things to square up, and it's game on Friday.
Oh, man.
We're
can't
looking
wait.
Forward
cool.
to it. I've been getting, you know, we've got people starting Thursday. We have people flying in, so it's, you know, trying to coordinate folks from the airport, getting them to the hotel, making sure they can hook up with who they want to hook up with. But we are set. We are ready to go. And to say we are excited would be an under-exaggeration.
That is true. I will
yes.
I second that one. Yeah.
Go ahead, Owen.
I'm just saying my concern is that I have no idea who anybody is. So name tags would be a good idea. Or please, God, introduce yourself to me. I won't know who you are, I swear.
Right.
So.
Well, we have name tags.
Ah, yes. can mine say Eric Burke?
Put Condra Lover on that
one. Request for name tags, and however you registered is what your name tag will read.
Damn it.
However, I will say this. If you are someone I don't know, and you've signed up under an alias, don't expect me to know who you truly are. you know, so don't, you know, don't walk up to the table and say, you know, you're Ryan such and such, and but you registered under the Morelia King. That's not going to help us out much.
Yeah.
All right, got it.
you know, a bunch of the Condro guys that I've done numerous events with in the past, social events. Of course, these guys are all coming, and they've really started to get our Facebook page fired up. If you haven't taken a look at that in the past couple of days, International Collective Arboreal Symposium on Facebook, take a look. There's a thread on there about, you know, guys wearing Speedos at the pool and the tiki bar, and a couple of, there's at least one photograph
yeah.
of the last event we had, some of the aftermath. So if you get a chance, take a look and see what you're in store for. But we're set. We're ready to go. We're ready to start receiving our guests and you know, helping the vendors get set. So do you guys have any questions about anything? Or?
No.
I'm just excited to getting ready to go with this. I've been looking forward to this for several months now, and it's finally here. It's kind of hard to believe. So,
right.
Yeah, bring it on. I mean, I'm ready to get going. When do we leave, Eric? Tomorrow? Now? Can we go now?
Yeah. I don't know if real quick I'll bring Zach and Dave into the party here. Hey, guys, you're live now. But I don't know. Did you guys have any questions? You're coming down with us. Do you have anything you wanted to ask Buddy about?
Christ, that's right. They are.
I don't have a question for Buddy, but I have a question for you, Eric. Are we all going to fit in your car, dude? Like,
you're going in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you
going to
stick me in like a display case and stick me in the back?
No. You're going in the bed. I'm putting Kelly on the hood like a deer that we shot. So they'll have plenty of space for the things that are most important, my serpents.
Nice.
So,
yeah, there you go.
Nice. Yeah.
I know I'm pretty excited to see a couple folks. I haven't seen some folks in years, and there's folks I've never met. I know I've never in person met Eugene Bissett, so
yeah.
I've heard
yeah.
some seriously wild
awesome.
Stories about Eugene and kind of excited to meet him in person. I haven't seen Rico in a couple of years. I'm very excited to
yes.
you know see
yeah.
Rico and hang out
oh,
with
yeah.
him and you know
definitely.
Catch up with him and mm. you know chat snakes and so he could tell me what's going on down at the mountain down there and at Signal Herp and all the cool things he's working on Condra wise.
Yeah.
You know, so pretty excited to see Rico, hang out with him and of course also Trooper Walsh.
Yes.
Haven't seen Trooper in a couple years, so it'll be fun to see him and hang out with him.
I'm gonna need like a group photo with all these people just
absolutely.
Because it's
we should
be that,
do that
freaking awesome. Like And yeah. Nick Mutton. Like, I've talked to Nick on the phone for years, but never actually met him. So
yeah.
All these people, Rico, Trooper, all these people that, you know, you've wanted to meet, but you don't ever get to. It's, you know, and we've talked to a lot of these people have been guests on the show, but I've never actually met them. So
right.
It's great to have all this. And I that's what's going to be the most fun for me, is getting to hang out with everybody and talk with all these very knowledgeable people and just geek out about snakes the entire time. Like, it's going to be – I'm going to have to detox myself when I get home later.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe
this
we
is
could
like
do a big group pyramid picture, you know.
There you go.
Get 100 of us, you know, in a big pyramid form, group picture. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, way back in the day, like, you say names like Rico Walder, Trooper Walsh, you know, Eugene Bissett, and all these guys were like, you know, I don't know how else to say it other than rock stars, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like you're meeting these people, and, like, they're like the, you know, the rock stars of herpetoculture, and it's
mm-hmm.
It's exciting to you know, it's humbling, I guess. You know, I mean, all the work that they've done for all the years of that they've been doing this. I mean, I've only been doing this for what, you know, back in it since 08. And, you know, when in the grand scheme of things, these guys have been doing it for 20, 30 years. And it's just, you know, to be in their presence and even pick their brains for just a minute about any kind of information that they would have or experiences is just going to be a phenomenal. It's going to be worth it, you know, worth the price of admission 10 times fold, because you're not going to be able to ever duplicate that, you know.
Right.
Never.
Absolutely.
Nope.
If you're on the fence, why? Why are you still on the fence? Just freaking do it. You're
right.
Much happier when you do it, as opposed to being one of those people that has to hear us talk about the post-ICAST show and be, I should have gone. So rather than listen to us speak about ICAST and be like, yeah, that was freaking great, you don't do it yourself, because I haven't been able to make Tinley and have Eric go, Tinley was awesome. I just want to hit him every time. So,
yeah, but you know what? I mean, Tinley,
don't do it
Tinley,
to yourself.
Tinley is one thing, you know. You know, reptile shows is this isn't a whole other ballpark, man. This not even close to the same universe of those type of events, because, you know, you're never going to be able to recreate again. Well, I guess hopefully if we have another ICAST, you'll be able to get it again. But the very first event, the excitement of that first event, that first time where everybody is there and, you know, I don't know, man. I'm excited to be in from the ground up and be attending the event. And I want to thank you, buddy, and Mark, and you know, and Barry for putting this together, because it's an awesome thing, and I hope it continues. So
well, you know, thank you, and I'm glad you guys appreciate the effort.
We do. Yeah.
It's going to be one of those things where, you know, it's not going to be. You know, if you're expecting 1,000 people there, this is not the event for you. But this is going to be a core group of serious reptile enthusiasts that, you know, every one of them, you know, can be a potential customer for the vendors. And pretty much a good majority of the people coming could actually be speakers at an event like ICAST. So we have people that are on the sidelines that are just coming to attend, that are coming to, you know, come to this event, you know, share in the experience, you know, share their wisdom, hopefully pick up some more knowledge for themselves. And, you know, it's going to be great. I mean, I think, you know, we want to do this again. But, you know, I have to say this, no matter if we do this, you know, 20 times or 5 more times, none of these events are ever going to be the same. They're each going to be different in their own ways. And, you know, there's a potential that folks that are at this show, you know, maybe in the future they're just not going to be there, you know, be able to, you know, make the next show, or maybe they won't be able to be back for another 4 or 5 years. So, you know, take advantage of this show and, you know, use it but, you know, to your ability, the best you can. If you're on the East Coast, if you're in Philly, New York, you know, any up and down the East Coast, if you're on the East Coast, it's easy still to get to ICAST. You know, we're less than a day's drive away. You can still find reasonable lodging. We know we're going to have registration open Friday and even Saturday morning. So,
right. You
know, you can still show up. You can still make this event. And, you know, we still want people to come. Don't think because, you know, you've missed out on pre-registration that, you know, it's closed. It's still open. We still want people to come. You know, do your best and get here. And, you know, mm-hmm. I know I would really make the effort. And when I look at the speakers we have, when I look at the people we are giving the Lifetime Achievement Awards, but I look at that collection of people, you know, that in its own right is enough to say, okay, I should drop what I'm doing and you know, take the time out of my life and be there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. If you're worried about lodging, if you buy me a case of beer, I will let you sleep in the same bed as Eric. So,
wow.
If you're concerned about lodging, I will do that for you. Just tell me that you're signed up. Bring me the beer. Either way, we have plenty of floor space, too. Crash in the hotel room. It'd be great.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Bring your sleeping bag and sleep in your car. That's what I would
do
for Carpet Fest if I had to.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I had my sleeping bag in my car and my pillow. I'm like, worst case, if I have a little too much to drink and the night gets a little too long, I'll just push the seat down and sleep the night in the car.
Yeah.
There you go. See, so now there is no excuse anymore.
Yeah.
None. Done.
Done.
On the East Coast and you're not there, you're done.
Well, I mean, it's just going to be an awesome time, and I can't wait. And I don't know, man. I'm with you guys. If you're on the East Coast, man, you should be heading down to this because it's just going to be one of those things, man. You coulda, woulda, shoulda. So I don't know.
Yep.
Oh, so
that's it. Be a part of the memory. Don't let us tell you how memorable it was.
Yes. Thank
Absolutely.
You. Perfect.
Right.
Yeah, I'm hoping that I'm going to meet some awesome Chondro people, and I'm going to meet some future guests for the radio show. And because I always tell you, I'm like a little intimidated by the Chondro world. You know, it's like I feel like it's like thousands of years ahead of where I'm even at. And, you know, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, I'm hoping that I can see the animal with the breeder and put the, you know what I mean?
Sure.
You know,
right.
Pretty excited about that, you know, so. And we're going to see
absolutely.
A Bolin's python.
Yeah, you're going to
see
a Bolin's
yeah.
python.
You get to touch the Bolin's python.
Yes, yeah. So we get a chance
to
do that.
Unless Mark lied to me.
Mark's bringing. You know, last time I talked to Mark, which is today, you know, everything is still on. I think I'm going to have to switch up tannin bar scrubs, though. My male's in the shed, so I might have to bring the female, which means she might have a cage, her cage covered, because she's just one of those scrub pythons. But
I didn't even think about that. I have to check my scrubs to use in shed and not happy.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but Bull and I are so cool. They've always been a species for me that they've been an enigma. You know, they're around, but you don't hear much about them. You don't hear much success about them. And strangely enough, how I met Mark Spataro was at a Chondro Fest. Mark and I share another hobby together, which is, you know, Mark does fitness stuff, and that's what his business is. He does, you know, he trains people. He's a trainer. And I've been an endurance athlete my entire life with cycling and running. And, you know, so I was interested to, you know, talk to Mark about some things. So we kind of hit not only on the snake level with chondros, but on the fitness level too. And when I knew he kept Bolin's pythons, and when he invited over to my place, I was like, I'm excited to see the chondros, but I'm so excited to see the Bolin eye in person.
Right.
And, of course, you know, Mark picks up on that. And, of course, you know, next thing you know, cages are coming open. He's handing me these huge snakes and, you know, and they're just incredible. They're, you know, they're gorgeous animals and, you know, they're very powerful. And, you know, Mark keeps the snakes very, very lean. So there's this long, lean snake with what looks like a, you know, that's like bulldog or, you know, big head. Like if this thing were to grab a hold of me, I would remember it for the rest of my life.
Cool.
Oh man!
But you know, they were not like that at all. They were inquisitive but friendly. And the entire time I'm like, I can't believe I'm in this, because he's got a room set up for his bull and I. I'm in this room with all these snakes, and, you know, just seeing him in person, handling them, and, you know, Mark, you know, he's all about that too, you know, sharing it with the person, you know, check these out, check this out, let me show you this, let me show you that, here's my thoughts with this and all that and all that. So it's really fun, and they're neat to see, and you'll enjoy it. You will enjoy it, because I would, you know, not knowing, if I were new into the Morelia world, I would not expect them, just looking at them, to be a part of the Morelia complex. Just
really?
Looking at them in person, just seeing them and their coloration, how it's, you know, it's much different than what you see with, you know, the other animals in the Morelia, just that almost black snake with the white or yellow highlights depending on the coloration and the head shape. And, you know, talking to Mark and what they've done with the, you know, how they believe it's closely related to, you know, to shoot off of the scrub pythons and, you know, seeing the scrubs and seeing that, you know, seeing the bull and I now in person, you can kind of see where that could happen. But they're an interesting species, and it's cool to get to see them in person. And if Mark's going to let you handle it, I would take the opportunity and do that.
Cool.
But you will be selling more snakes, so you can buy some bolanides. So just be forewarned.
Nah, if snakes start selling, I know where I'm going, and it ain't the bolanides.
I think Mark's bringing his roughies, too. I think.
Oh, man. Yeah.
All right.
Morelia heaven, man.
It's good.
Who wants to buy super caramels? Who wants super caramels? Everyone wants a super caramel.
And we're doing the room setup for the vendors. We've got the layout done. That's all set up.
Sweet.
Everything is ready to go. But the thing that we've done is in the middle of the room, we're going to have tables set up. So if you don't feel like standing behind your table, you want to be near your table, but you want to get out and talk with a group of people, you can sit down at a table. You know, you want to, you know, drink something or eat something or do whatever. It's going to be that type of atmosphere where, you know, you're going to be there, you're going to have your animals, but you're still going to be able to interact with everyone. It's not like you're...
That's cool.
You don't have to be strapped behind a table if you don't want to be.
Wow.
That's awesome.
We actually want to encourage people to meet, like Eric said, meet new people, maybe, you know, talk about something new that you're thinking about getting into that may be there at the show. You know, I'm excited to see some of the carpet morphs and some of the different carpet stuff. I've been, you know, just looking around at some neat things like Inlands and the Darwins and all that stuff. So I have lots of questions about all those animals. So, you know, expect to be questioned by me.
There you go.
While I'm there about some of those, you know, cool carpet pythons that are out there in the carpet world. So.
Yeah, Inlands.
Cool.
You bring up Inlands. I guess mine are small, but I'll bring them because.
Yeah, I'd love to see them.
Yeah,
we have small containers. They can go into a little slot that I got in the tiers, so we can bring them.
Inlands are one of those animals that you can't really appreciate until you have it in your hand. You see it in person.
Yep.
There's just something about them that can't be captured in a picture. It's very hard. I mean, Zach, he's a master photographer, and it took him forever to get a picture of the Inlands, you know, but...
Yeah, don't rub it in.
Yeah, it's just their head patterns and the way... they're just really cool. So, yeah, I'll bring them down for you, buddy.
Is it because they're active that you can't get a good photograph of them, or is it just because
there's
so much going on with their pattern and color that it's difficult to capture?
You know what it is? It's that their color is more than skin deep.
Okay.
So what you're really seeing with that, like that blue, that smirky blue they have, I think what it really is that their scale is kind of iridescent in a way. So that way it's kind of putting off a blue cast. So it's hard to really capture that because cameras really only capture surface deep. So trying to bring out that inner blue color, you really have to play with the camera settings a lot. And I think I got it close, but I mean, you really do have to see them in person. They're one of those kind of animals.
Yeah, I'd love to see them. I would love to see them in person. You know, I've talked about my oldest son a couple times on the show. He is coming down Saturday, and he's going to be there, I think, for the last two speakers. And, you know, he has, you know, recently, well, you guys know you were Carpet Fest. We got, you know, had to buy a pair of jungle carpets, you know,
yeah.
For the Rico auction. You know, had to pick up some jungle carpets and reliving my past here a little bit. And, you know, I kept them kind of quiet for my kids and, until they had been here about a month and they had, you know, taken a couple mules and gotten to a shed cycle. And then, you know, I was like, hey, look at these guys. And ever since then, you know, they both, you know, Dad, we both want these snakes. You know, I have two boys. I'm like, yeah, sure, you can, you know, they're your snakes. You know, we'll take care of them together, all this stuff. So they're all about the jungle carpet. So we go to the library, we find a book on snake keeping. And he picks out a book, and of course it's not the.
Hello?
Uh oh.
He just lost Buddy.
No, God, no.
No.
He dropped off. He'll probably call right back in.
Well, we suck.
Sounded like he was driving something, yeah. But cool. ICAST, it's days away, fellas. It's going to be a hell of a time. So,
hell yeah.
I can feel the excitement coming from you, Zach. Holy smokes.
Well, I already told Eric that I was going to slip Zach and Andrew NyQuil for the ride down. This way I didn't have to be a peaceful ride down. So.
Andrew? Who the hell's Andrew?
Yeah,
I don't
really want
to say Andrew. Shit. Wow.
Wow.
Dave,
you know
I'm sorry. Apparently, you just don't exist anymore.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, buddy.
Hey, guys. I'm back. Sorry about that. Knocked the phone over.
That's all right.
So, anyway, my oldest son is interested to see all the carpet morphs, especially
cool.
jungle jags. He's all about jungle jags for some reason.
Oh, man, he'll have fun at Moe's
there.
Table.
Right,
exactly.
Oh,
yeah, there you go. You're going to have to pry him away from that.
Right. So he's super excited. So, you know, he's
cool.
Hey, Dad, what are we going to buy when we're there? I'm like, I hope nothing.
whoa. What do you mean with all this buy stuff?
Yeah, we've only got 40 chondros. You're not happy with that? Come on.
Oh.
Wow.
You always want what you can't have.
Exactly.
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 Whatever's not right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's going to be fun to see all that stuff. I can't wait. I cannot wait just to
take
all that in.
Cool. Very exciting.
I
don't know. Anything else you want to hit on for ICAST, buddy?
I think that's pretty much everything I wanted to cover. Once again, guys, thanks so much for allowing me to come on and talk with you guys. And thanks again for your support as being a sponsor for ICAST. You know, hopefully this is, you know, we're going to do this again. Hopefully you guys will be right back there with us in the trenches supporting ICAST. And, you know, again, really appreciate everything you guys are doing. You know, you're supporting us by vending. You know, Morelia Python Radio is as a sponsor and coming down and, you know, be willing to, you know, do a couple Morelia Python Radio shows from the event for us, or, you know, we certainly appreciate the effort you guys are putting into it, and we don't want that to go unnoticed.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Very cool.
All right, guys. Well, enjoy your discussion. Maybe next time there's a round table, I can join you.
Yeah.
Please, dude. That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
that would be a cool perspective, man.
You know, we'll have to put together maybe a chondro round table type of thing and tie it in with some controversial chondro topic. So we'll work on that, buddy.
That sounds great. Okay, guys, I will see all four of you Friday.
Yep.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Awesome.
Take care. Safe travels.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
See you guys. Bye.
All right. There we go.
I'm so psyched. Yeah, hey, I got to say something real quick about this whole people not showing up to this thing. Listen, I've talked to a few people. I've heard a few people say, oh, well, money's tight, and I want to buy this chondro, or I want to buy these cages. Or Listen. This is an event not to be missed. Listen, the cages can wait. You know, that new snake can wait. You need to attend this event. I don't care who you are. You're going to regret it for the rest of your damn life. I promise you. Because it's going to be off the wall insane. I cannot wait. Take credit card loans out. Do whatever it takes and get your ass to Maryland on Friday. Please, please get there or you're going to regret it. So, you know what I mean? Because we're going to have too much fun.
Absolutely.
It's funny because that neat snake that you're looking for might freaking be there.
Yeah, really.
So,
yeah, it's just so silly. It's like, I got to concentrate on my project. Like, listen, man, this is, like, not to be missed. This is really, you could sacrifice a little bit, how much knowledge you're going to gain from this trip is going to make up for whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you have to look at it like this. Like, I mean, I know you invest in your animals, you invest in, the caging, you invest in the equipment, but it seems like people are funny about investing in the knowledge part of it, or even the part of it of the meeting people, greeting people. I mean, you got to remember, number one, if you're going to breed snakes, if you get a tip or you talk to somebody that's been through it, and they save you a season, think about how much farther ahead you would be. The other way to think of it, too, is, you're going to be meeting and talking to people and putting your name out there, so people are going to know who you are. You might develop friendships with people, you might develop relationships with future customers because you're talking about a project that you may have and, a couple years down the line, or maybe it's next year, maybe it's this upcoming season, who knows? But, that's the kind of thing that people, they forget about, that, that part of the people end of it, of this, business or hobby or whatever you want to say. I mean, that's an important part of it as well. So, you'll be able to do all that. So that's our ICAST news. If you're not coming, then
you suck.
I don't know what else
Moving
to
on.
Say.
Listen, if you're not coming, hang up your snake hook because you do not deserve it.
Yeah,
oh my God.
You do
that
not deserve
brutal.
To own it. You just hang it up. Just walk away. You know what I mean? Just wash your hands of it. You need to be there. I'm sorry. I there's no excuse, in my opinion. No excuse not to be there.
When Buddy first approached me with this idea that he had, when Carpet Fest was coming about, and the idea was something similar to what they were doing, as like a Morelia symposium type of thing where you had speakers and yada, yada, yada. But that's a tremendous undertaking to do. So Carpet Fest kind of came about, and then when Buddy contacted me and told me that he was putting this event together, I mean, Morelia Python Radio couldn't help but get on board because, is just the Morelia Python heaven. I mean, it's just got everything that you need, and it's bringing the community together. That maybe won't interact with each other on the forum or on Facebook or wherever it would be.
Mm-hmm.
You're bringing the chondro world into the carpet world, and the chondro and carpet world into the scrub world, and who knows, maybe even those worlds will be tied into something that you wouldn't even think of, like tree boas or something crazy like that. There's so many things that are out there this will open your eyes into the world of something besides your normal pets or projects, reptiles in herpetoculture, something besides the norm, so to speak. So, which kind of brings me to my biggest topic of the night, the urgent news for US ARC.
Right.
There's two action alerts that are out there. And what's today's date, the 30th? So it's tomorrow?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, tomorrow's the deadline. I don't know if they got it extended or not. But the two action alerts, the first one, it addresses the Fish and Wildlife. They have a proposal where they can pretty much just list any species as injurious and without the due process. They can just say, I'm just going to add this. No scientific support, no research. No impact studies, no nothing. One day it's here, next day it's not. And that's decided by, Fish and Wildlife. And it's a scary thing, man. I mean, not even to mention just the whole pet thing or animals or anything, just the rights in general. Just they're being swept away and people just sit back and do nothing. So I urge you to please, if you haven't already, to go over to usarc.org. And you'll see the two action alerts there. Sign up, It takes maybe 5 minutes to do. You can write your own thing. If you don't have, you're not good with writing your own thoughts or whatever, you can copy and paste the one that's there and send off the email and, you know, tell them that you don't support this and that you want your rights not to be taken away from you. The second alert, this one was pushed by the ANI pet groups. This is, you know, HSUS, PETA, all that kind. They want to add the 5 species of snakes to the injurious wildlife list that they left off the last time. It includes boa constrictors and retics. I mean, you know, retics seem to be the big thing at the moment. Those retic people better be voicing their opinion or they're going to be in the same boat as the berm people. And then it has the, actually I didn't even know this, but there's three, I guess there's subspecies of anaconda. There's the green, the chantzes, and the, I think it's the beni or something like that. I don't got it in
those,
front of me.
Yeah. Those are all subspecies of the green anaconda. The yellow anaconda has 2 subspecies and the green has 3. What's funny is that the 2 subspecies of green anaconda, I think there might be like 1 in the country. Other than that, they're not even in there. There's not. And some of them are, I think the one that begins with a B looks so much. I think the only difference between it and the normal green anaconda is like the spots are darker and bolder or whatever. So it's, they're not even trying anymore. They're casting a net, and the net is whatever it is they scoop up. I mean, they're reading a book and they go anaconda, and it says all the subspecies of anaconda. They're like, all right, we'll get them all. So that's what they're pretty much doing, is that they're drawing a big circle around different species, and they're taking all the subspecies as well. So it's never going to be just one thing. They're going to take it all. So like, if they were to try to ban olive pythons, they would probably just say liasis.
Correct.
That's the scary part, is that they don't care anymore. They're going to just try to see whatever they can get.
Yes.
And,
so,
and for Morelia people, you don't think scrubs are next?
Yeah, that is the terrifying thing.
You know what I mean?
Thing.
Like, scrubs are, like, come on. They're letting come after scrubs before.
You know why scrubs probably don't get as much attention? Because
they're not
as mainstream.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You don't see
so
them as
people
much.
Don't
you
know that they
like
have
green
them. But,
anacondas. I mean, come on.
Well,
you see anacondas on TV all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, if they have a show and they're talking about
stupid movie that came out where the anacondas were like 50 feet long eating people. Yeah, thank you. So you get one movie like that and it ruins the entire species. The problem is that, you know, if you think about it, the normal berm retic that is being kept by a normal person tops out at about, 16 foot max. Very rarely do you get past the 20s. Mm-hmm. You know that they have the potential of doing so, but what person in their right mind has a collection of retics all above 20 foot? I mean, you might have one or two that get there, but that's pretty much it. But you know, some scrubs, heaven forbid if King Horn and I show up here, they're going to be 18 feet.
Yep.
18, 20 feet, easy.
Yeah, Zach,
so
you're absolutely right, Zach. You have, though, I mean, what you're saying is pretty much that it's just a mindset in this industry, which just blows. I'll tie it in later, but I don't want to start going off on a rant. But the the whole thing to where we don't support each other is just such bullshit, man. I mean, it really is. It makes me so mad. You got and I'm not. You got a ball. I hate the. I'll say chondro person. You have a chondro person that, and you have this. I don't want to always pick on the ball python people, but you have.
They're easy to pick on. It's okay.
Yeah, but you have a chondro person, and you know here's this person, and they're breeding their chondros, and they're saying, oh, I got a snake. It lives in a 2x2 cube. They'll never want to take this from me. But who gives a shit about the the scrub people? You think that they're not going to eventually come down to that one? You're
they
sadly
will not
mistaken,
be happy.
My friend.
They will not be happy until the only animals that we can own as human beings
is a cat and a dog. And then you know what? They're going to be so strictly regulated about that, they're going to start going after breeds. Basically,
they are going after breeds.
Dog, they already are. The only dog I'm going to be able to own is something like a long-haired dachshund. And what kind of life is that?
It's not a dog.
It's not a dog. It's a rat.
It's not a
dog. I got nothing but love for Eric's dog, man. This is a
you know what?
Hotel, but like.
Hey, man, I thought when I bought that dog, it was a shingleback. They lied to me. They told me
it's a shingleback. Stink. My God.
They told
That's
me
why
it was
Eric threw down tons
her.
Of money. Yeah.
Damn it.
All right. For those of you who don't know, Eric has two long-haired dachshunds who could, like, literally walk under my dog without touching his underbelly. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you got a big dog, man. Oh, my God.
No, he's not that big.
Well, Owen tries to compensate for things. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you son
Wait,
of a bitch. You're sleeping in the same room for me this weekend, okay? Watch it.
Oh, okay. My Lord.
But anyway, I mean, Dave, you wanted to hit on something with the the whole U.S. ARC thing, and I'll let you do your thing, man.
Oh, yeah, so I don't know if I'm being lackadaisical about going on U.S. ARC's page, but I was always led to believe there was only the one option of donating one amount at one period of time. So I go on there last night, and there's an option where $5 a month you can donate to U.S. ARC. That's it, $5 recurring. All right, people, this is USARC is our number one bet to help keep our rights. They need money, okay? We're not giving them the money they need because everybody is getting so lackadaisical of this hobby. We have one bad thing happen, and then we retreat into our snake rooms and forget all about the next one, like right around the corner, okay? So what we need to do, everybody is right now, go to USARC if you haven't already, sign up for this. $5 a month. I'm a poor college student, and when I have money, I buy snakes and cages and frozen rats. I can still give $5 to USARC monthly, okay? And if we want to help keep our rights, we need to support the one thing that is helping us keep our animals. I don't know where to keep going with that because I'm pretty fired up right now, but go over there and do it now.
You know what that works out to, Dave? 16 cents a day.
Yep.
If you can't afford 16 cents a day to keep your rights in this hobby, you shouldn't be in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Oh, my God. $5, people. Seriously, $5. Nobody is that poor. They're keeping reptiles. You can't donate $5. Stop on your next reptile purchase or whatever thing you need for your animals and just donate to USARC. We are slacking. We are slacking so bad. We just have these two things sneak up on us out of nowhere, and they're huge. They can damage a lot. Take action.
Right.
Take action. I was running around all week to my coworkers and family saying, sign this petition. Sign this petition. Sign this. I need help to keep my animals, and you need help to keep your animals. They might start taking you in the future. We have to be proactive. Sitting alone in our snake rooms and playing around on our computers isn't doing it anymore, all right?
Yeah.
We have to get out there, and we have to make our cause known.
Absolutely.
Oh. Damn straight.
See, I just took people's names and email addresses and did it for them. So,
all
my family keep getting these emails. They're like, thank you for your support. Like, what the hell am I doing? So, yeah.
What I do is when I sell a snake, I look at it as like a tax. So let's say that I sell a snake for $300, okay? So I take, like 5% of that sale, and I donate that.
Uh-huh.
You know,
if everybody did that, they'd have all the money they needed.
Absolutely. You know, if you're making thousands of dollars, hundreds of dollars, or whatever you're making, $25, whatever. I mean, you know, I don't know. I just don't get it, but... Again, like I said, we'll tie that in later, but good rant, Dave. I think the passion was flowing at 310%. I like it.
Yeah, you know what? This is a new day, man.
Now
you
I think
cry,
you're just like crazy with the passion meter.
Yeah.
It's a new day, man. I like it.
Real quick, I guess, well, The only thing that I really saw in the news that I thought that was really cool, and this will tie into when we go into our whole more thing, is the Gamma Zebra Jag. Holy crap, man. Did you see that thing?
It's already getting yellow, and it's only a neonate.
And it hasn't even shed yet.
No, that's ridiculous. I mean, having hatched Jags, my Hycon Jags, they eventually turned very, very yellow as they grew. But they came out gray and ugly. I mean, this is the norm. If it comes out gray and ugly, yeah, you'll get better. But if it comes out that yellow, what the fuck is it going to do when it sheds? Is it just going to start to glow in the dark? Is it just going to, like, blind anybody that stares at it the wrong way? I want it. So it's pretty, so I want
it. This is what I have for you, Owen.
Yeah, I'm listening.
You underestimate the power of the dark side.
There's no RJ in that at
dirty,
all.
The dirty Frankensteiner. You went from a pure guy to a dirty Frankensteiner.
I don't have to listen to you.
I need lightning.
And you made me pay for that because I traded you a caramel for my Jaghead granite. And you're like, why would Owen trade this pure, beautiful animal for a mutt? I'm like, you fucking asshole. Air my business.
That's right. Right. Okay, so let's get this roundtable thing going. Let's get it going. All right, so I guess the big one that has sort of got my button boiling is this. It seems like to me, as of late, that there's this opinion that somehow carpet python morphs are a bad thing. And there's the pros and cons of it. Obviously, the cons of it are that people just get in it for the money and they think they're good, that whole thing. They're afraid it's going to turn into the ball pythons and everything there. But I'm going to save my bits for last. So I'm going to let you go, Owen. What do you think?
Nice.
How do you fit in this whole thing here?
Now, the problem is that it's a double-edged sword, because in order for us to have a carpet python market, I think you need to rely on the morphs to bring people in. Because you and I had this discussion, Eric, and I thought I made a pretty good point, is what was the carpet market before Jag? People maybe had a pair. Whatever. It's like the same thing that goes on with my Maclots. I have a pair. I'm never going to need anything else. Why? There's no real morph or anything like that. I have my Macs. They breed. They give me Mac babies. That's all I really need to do with that. So the problem that you have is that people are freaking out over the morph market. And people are worried that they're going to lose the purity. They're going to lose the pure line animals, which... all these problems that we discuss when it comes to the morph market are within the power of you, the breeder, to fix. It's not out of your control. Your snakes are not going into each other's cages and breeding all willy-nilly. You put that animal in there, and you advertise it for this. As far as the market crashing, again, that's you setting prices and you making sales and you being unwilling to hold babies until they sell. All of this is completely within your realm to fix. So freaking out over people who maybe enjoy the morph market isn't going to do anybody any good. You need something to bring people to the carpet python market. And then those people are going to make their own decisions, whether they want to be a purist or if they want to do the morphs. And as far as people getting in it just for the money, they're stupid. They really are stupid people who try to do that. And they're the idiots who grab as many snakes as possible from some of the better-known breeders in the country, and then realize probably after their first year when they don't get any eggs that they've totally sunk themselves. They're the people who every time they talk about their snake, they say, my zebra. And then they say instantly after my zebra is the line, the breeder, and when they got it, where they got it, who the parents were, all in one sentence. Those people do tend to go away. They come and they go. To be honest, Eric, I thought you were going to go when you first showed up.
Damn.
Because you show up and you bought a shit ton of things. I'm like, this asshole's going to burn out. He's already gone. And then you stuck around. I mean, what the hell? So it's those people come
really
and go. I hate you. No, it's those people come and go because they do not have the love for the animals themselves. And you just got to deal with those people. They're part of it. But to have people so strictly against the morph market is like cutting your nose to spite your face. You know, I very much liked having the pure stuff, and I said I would never mix this, never mix that. But a lot of the morphs intrigued me. I mean, I like Granite Jags. I think they look awesome. So I want to breed Granite Jags. But that doesn't mean I'm going to start breeding my Jaghead Granite with everything that I have here. I want to make sure that that project stays away from my other projects. I have the Ivory Diamond Jungle Jag. And she is only going to be bred to an ivory jungle. I'm waiting until I get an ivory jungle. She's not getting bred with anything else. It may be years before I breed her to an ivory jungle. I may have Jungle Boy sitting there. I might have a zebra sitting there ready. Not going with her. It's not an option. Because I know what I want, and that's having her bred to some other things is not what I want. And when it comes to the siblings, I'll make my decision when it comes to that. When they are.
Oh, you said the S word.
So I get, like, do we all start screaming now? Ah! Ah! Sorry. He said the secret word. So it,
I don't know if I can
again,
hold back,
it,
man. It's boiling up.
Sorry,
I'm boiling,
sorry.
Man.
Easy,
I'm
easy,
boiling
easy. I'm not
oh
done yet.
God.
Wait. All right. It's again, it all goes back to us as the breeder. We control the market. There are reasons that the boa market and the ball python market became what they are or crashed as they did. There's a reason that spider morph came out the same time as Jag and has not been able to hold the price. And that is the people who are doing it, the people who are setting the prices, the people who are breeding it made certain decisions that were not in the best interest of the market. They all saw short term. We need to think more long term. And that's fine. Morphs are good. Morphs are good. They are good for business. Go.
Dave, I'll let you go next, and then I'll go. But I just want to throw this thing in here. For all those people that don't like morphs and all, and I know I get labeled the Frankensteiner, and because I have all these morphs and whatever.
Yeah, it was my
fault. Whatever. But here's the thing. Zach, you can attest to this.
Uh-huh.
Probably 70% of my collection is pure stuff. I'll post up an IJ, nobody gives a shit. I post up a Super Caramel Zebra Jag, and everybody's drooling all over the place. I mean, to me, here it is. I'm like, okay, IJs are just shit for me because nobody's worked with them. You know, to me, jungles are done. I mean, you can keep refining it, but why not take another carpet? So here I am. I say, okay, let me take coastals, and let me take IJs, and let me try to refine that. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody cares. I care because I love carpet pythons. And just because I happen to have Super Caramel Zebra Jag or whatever, the blah, 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 you know, everybody's like, nah, that's no good. All right. Go ahead, Dave.
Somebody take a minute. Everybody breathe. Dave, breathe. Breathe.
Dave, don't hold back, bro. Utah. Say what you want to say, man. Don't hold back.
Yeah, go
so
for it.
Now,
listen. Let me just put this out there before you go, Dave. Now, me and Dave and Zach have had conversations about this before, and you know we feel passionate about what we're talking about and what we think about. But as no way is this mean spirited or anything like that. You know, we're just people get passionate about their opinions or whatever the case may be. You know,
mm-hmm.
So. I don't want to say what's on your mind, man, because the whole idea of this whole way to do things, and it's kind of good that we kind of disagree, and that's kind of one of the reasons why me and Owen do the show together, because it would kind of be dumb if we agreed on everything. I mean, it's just straight up the truth. If me and Owen
like
just
it. Yes,
like,
yes, I do,
yeah,
too.
Well,
yeah.
Super
normal. Yeah.
Really
fucking
that's really
boring.
Cool. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
You know, so I mean, it gets people going. And the whole point is that people can listen. And they can make up their own minds of what they want to do inside their snake room. You know, I don't want, I guess the biggest thing that, and I know I'm kind of stealing your thunder there, Dave, but I just want to make sure that you don't feel like, you know what I mean? I don't want you to be like nervous or, you know, say what's on your mind, if you're a thing. My biggest thing is that don't tell people what to keep. Tell people what you keep.
Or do.
And tell people why you keep it, and they'll keep it. I don't understand why, because I have a Super Caramel Zebra Jag, somebody comes along and says to me, oh, that's bad for the hobby, or that's no good, or whatever. Well, you know what? Don't waste your time even posting on my thread. Then don't do it, man. Post up your own thread. Where's your Pure Coastal at? Show me. Show me where your Pure whatever it is, and show me where your thread is. And you know what? More than likely, I'll come along and post on it. Why? Because I love carpet pythons. I love the whole freaking group. I love the ugly ones. I love the ones that people throw away and say, oh, there's no stew. I got the Athertons from Derek Roddy. Who gives a shit about them but probably me, Dave, and Derek? That's the only three people in the U.S. that probably has them or even cares about them. So don't go and tell me about it has to be flashy or this. You know, you're talking about jungles, and people want to ride the thing about Pure Jungles, yet their jungles are freaking bright-ass yellow and dark-ass black, which is an awesome thing. Well, where's your Palmerston jungles? Do you have them in your collection? No. Well, wait a minute. How more pure can you get than that? You know what I'm saying? So it's just, go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
No.
All right, I'm stopping.
I feel like you got pretty far in there. Do you want to finish your thing before?
No, he's got to stop or he's going to have an aneurysm. All right, so you know, Dave, go, and then we'll go back to
I'm
Eric.
I'm starting to have an asthma attack. I got to take a breather.
Yeah, where's your hair, bro?
Okay. So, I'm going to preface this with one thing. I am a hypocrite. I am aware I am a hypocrite. But I keep Jags. I love Jags. I can't explain why I love Jags. I like Jags. I like Diamond Jungle Jags. But I also have a lot of normal type carpet pythons. And lately, I have been just keeping an eye on where the carpet market has been. Or I guess hobby. Carpet hobby. I don't like the word market. Has been. And where it is now. And it just seems like in the last couple of years there's been a lot of excitement about morphs, which I get. It's new. It's cool. It looks pretty. We're keeping snakes in boxes. It looks pretty. But I also am seeing a lot of people getting in just because we have morphs now. And maybe it's a stereotype in my mind, but to me it seems like it's more about, look at this pretty snake in a box. I don't know anything about it. I don't know how to keep it. I don't observe it, but I've got pretty snake in a box. And maybe that's not the right way to look at it, but that's the way it seems to me. And one thing I've been looking – I've been listening to a lot of other reptile online radio shows lately because I'm a total geek and that's how I fill my time. And not all of them are geared towards carpet pythons specifically, but just a myriad of different species. And whenever they start talking to – some of these breeders, what these people are saying are, oh, yeah, I've got granite jaguar carpets. I've got albino carpets. I've got zebra carpets. And it's always these new high-end morphs. And to me, it just seems like the normal wild type is kind of getting forgotten in this morph-obsessed, interested hobby. It's a difficult choice to make because, let's face it, we are working with animals out of gene flow. Morphs aren't they're mutants, and they're in our box, and they wouldn't survive in the wild, and we like them. So what's the problem with it? There's just something about the thought of everything else being lost that kind of worries me. And I'm sorry, I'm really tired, so I'm losing my train of thought here, so push me back on the line if you need to.
He's drunk. Don't listen to
me. I'm not drunk. I drank my last beer at 7. What are you talking about?
I knew it. All right.
But I'm just worried it's become more about Seth, we're all in here. I'm going to say one thing. Mm. Owen, yes, you have morphs. You're making granite jags. But you're also the kind of snake person that can appreciate a water python. Who the
I
hell
love
appreciates
my water.
A water python except a true snake
yeah.
person? And Eric, you said it yourself. You're a morph guy. You like morphs. But guess what? You love IJs and inlands and coastals and everything else with it. You just like carpet pythons and you want to work with them all. And Zach, you just like IJs. You're exempt from this. But the point is...
Zach, you're pretty much just like Eric, so it's
yeah,
the one.
Yeah, but
oh.
I see a lot of carpet python guys, some of the old school type, before all the morphs got into this into the hobby, seem to be able to balance out both and like both. But a lot of the new people I see are gravitating more towards the morph and neglect, maybe this is also just me looking into their eyesight. I get that I can't speak for them, but it appears that they're looking more at the morph as opposed to the wild type.
I know, I don't mean to cut you off, but this just goes to the point that, you know, I just don't get why we bash morphs and we don't just get those new people into a coastal carpet. I don't understand why, for some reason, it just baffles my mind that somebody that's into carpets can't get somebody else to get into carpets. I mean, look, Zach is a perfect example of somebody that pimps out a freaking species. Look what he's done with blue tongue skinks. I've got to be honest with you. I never paid it. I never even knew that there even were so many types of blue tongue skinks. And, you know, here's a guy. He's doing what he digs. He's doing what he doesn't give a shit what anybody else thinks. You know, he's doing what he digs. And he goes and he says, you know what, people? Check these out. You know? And here he goes and he puts his Facebook page up and there it is and boom, boom, boom. And now everybody's coming over and they're digging all the different types and the different things. You know, I just don't get why carpet python people seem to think, Jesus Christ, you can't tell me that if you're looking at, I don't understand why a jungle, somebody that's into jungles can't look in an IJ and say, that's cool, man. I just don't get it. You know, it's not even talking about morphs anymore. You know, I mean, no matter what it is, it's like, ah, that's just a brown piece of mud. And I get it. It's all fun and whatnot and blah, blah, blah. I get it. You know, you poke fun at each other, and that's cool. But you're not even talking morphs at that point. Jesus Christ, how the hell are we going to fight for our rights with U.S. ARC if we can't even agree that, you know, your project is cool? I don't give a shit if you like IJs. I really don't. I don't care. But you know what? 5 years, 6 years, 10 years from now, when I have selectively bred IJs that are freaking smoking like the jungles are today, you'll be coming to me and saying, oh, man, I want to get it. And then you'll all be hypocrites because, wait a minute, 10 years ago, it's all in the way the animal looks. And if you guys don't admit that, or if people don't admit it, then they're lying. You know, I can't tell you, like, as much as I like carpet pythons, who's the carpet python website back in the day, at least when I got into it, where did you go? Where was the big website of where you went? Anthony Caponetto's website. What jag sat on that website? Bullwinkle. Bullwinkle is a cross jag, but everybody drooled and gooed, oh, my God, look at this thing. I did. I'm not going to sit here and deny it. Absolutely I did. That's the thing that got hooked me in. But you know what? I'm relying on the people that, you know, and if you don't want to do it, I'll do it. I'll be the one that gets people jazzed about being in the carpets because they're freaking cool, man. They're a cool species to work with. It doesn't matter what they look like. They can be butt-ass ugly, but they're still cool because they have good – yeah, I know, right? They have cool – I can't even talk now.
Eric's
going to
ditch his entire collection of butt-ass ugly ghosts.
But think about it, man. I mean, I guarantee you, Owen, we've sat there at shows, and you know this to be true. You know it to be true. I had IJ sit on the table, and the people that are going to come rant and rave about, oh, I want pure stock, and it has to, and the morphs are not good, didn't even freaking look at them. But when I was at Tinley Park and I had the Gamma Jag sitting there, everybody came by and looked at it. And you know what?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't even the normal people. That's the whole point of something like that. You want to get people's attention and draw them over. And there was me and Dave Diamond and Julie, and we're sitting there and we're pipping out the species. And we're talking to people about how they're so cool. You know what? You don't like this kind of carpet? Guess what? There's another kind for you. You don't want something that gets too big? Guess what? Here's an IJ. You want something that looks like a morph and it's just a natural variation of a carpet python? Guess what? Here's a jungle. You want a jungle? Go down three tables down there and see Mo. You want a coastal? Go down there four tables and see Jason. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I don't understand why I'm not going to say, oh, well, since I breed morphs, you don't want to go down to those pure people, blah, blah, blah. That's just, oh, God, just bullshit. I mean, come on.
I love it when you get this ripped. All right. But no, I totally agree with what you're saying is that the reasons you have for discussing that other people shouldn't breed morphs, there's no founding for it. Because all you're doing is throwing spikes and dividing the community, which there is no point in doing that thing. If you're going to divide us, then what the fuck are we doing here? We can't, like you said, we cannot pose a strong front against these people who are attempting to take various species away if we are fighting amongst each other. I can respect that you keep your Aryan Jays and you have all these pure lines. Do I care enough about the pure stuff to grab all these variations and localities? No, that's not my thing. But that is your thing, and that's more power to you. And you know what? You can even convince me every once in a while to take part in something that you're doing. I have a freaking jaghead granite. Would that have ever happened a couple years ago?
No.
Fuck no.
You know why? You know why, Owen? Why? Because
why?
You came over
why?
To my
because
house, and I showed
and
you what
I
a granite
yours,
jag looks like.
And, it
and you're like, holy
awesome.
Shit, that's cool.
That looks
like,
great,
cool.
And I love it. I love the look. I love everything about it. And I want to produce my own because that's something I want to do. Hell, I could produce my own next year and decide that, that was cool, sell the whole project because it's just that's the way it is. But if I were to just bash you completely and not support you, like there's been several times, Eric, you and I have been running a table and somebody says that they want pure jungles. I'm like, well, I got our coastals. Go over there, talk to Mo. Oh, you have any tigers? Jason's over there. You know where Howard is? He's over there. I mean, like there's several things. It's much better to support each other and talk to each other and deal with each other in some sort of a respect within the community as friends than to be trying to constantly stab each other in the back. This is how boa market crashed because I'm over here and fuck you for being over there. I'm going to sell my boas for $100 and you have them priced over there for $200. I sell out all of my boas. The next show, you're dropping down you're dropping down price lower to get that. Shut up.
You know, it's not even about like, I don't care if morphs are worth money. I don't care if normals are worth, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I want to make cool looking carpet pythons. I keep Morelia. Who the hell keeps Helma hair scrubs? Who cares about them? Nobody does. Nobody cares, or people would be working with them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Here, I, you know, half of my, again, 60% of my collection is pure Morelia stock. And, you know, somehow, for some reason, and I get it, but that's because that's what people take to. And you know what? I don't understand why the people that are into the pure stuff don't appreciate the guy that breeds morphs, because here's the guy that breeds morphs and gets somebody into carpet pythons. Absolutely. You say what you will, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's just the way that herp the culture is geared. You don't like it? Change it. Change it. You change it. Don't listen to somebody and tell them that, you know, don't have somebody say to you, oh, well, that's not cool. It happens all the time. You sit there and you say, here, this is cool. Nobody, and then all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, I got to have that. Oh, my God, I got to have that. You know, and they don't do it because they love to do it. At the time that I was getting back into pythons, ball pythons for the shit, I listened to reptile radio religiously every week. You know, you think that I would have gotten into ball pythons. It just didn't do it for me. I don't hate ball pythons. I don't hate ball python breeders. It's nothing to do with it. It's just not my thing. My thing is carpets. That's what I got into. You know, and I said, hey, you know what? I'm going to get people into this too because they're freaking cool. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're good.
Go ahead,
you good?
Yeah. We kind of left you out of that, Zach. What do you think?
Your turn now. Go. Top that shit.
No, actually, it's funny. I'm actually not going to go on a rant just because time constraints, because we do have other things to talk about. And not only that, I think you guys hit on every topic and everything pertaining to this particular issue.
I agree.
I'm not going to really hit on it. I'm kind of going to move us along. But I will say that, man, just worry about what you're doing and make sure that what you're doing, you 100% believe in. And rather than bashing somebody else's project, push your own. And you're going to see, you know, like, for the longest time, I always tell people that there's no other better pet lizard in the world than a blue-tongued skink, right? I think they're better than bearded dragons, bar none, without a doubt, all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't go to a bearded dragon forum and be like, oh, your guys, animals suck. You know, blue-tongued skinks are better. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, that would be asinine, right? But for some reason,
right.
It seems like that's okay with the snakes. It doesn't make sense to me. So, no, I'm going to tell you that the blue-tongued skinks are the best species in the world for X, Y, and Z. You can believe me. You know, you don't have to believe me. But this is, I'm presenting you the information. You make up your mind. And I think that's the problem. I think everybody wants to convince everybody that their way is better to somehow, I don't know, justify what the hell they're doing because they don't fully believe in what they're doing. That's what it is. And the people who say that it's 100% about money, this morph game, are concerned about money. You get what I'm saying? If
Absolutely.
It wasn't about money for these people, then they wouldn't be complaining about the fact that their IJs can't sell. So
that's right.
That's my whole thing. Look at what you're doing before you start projecting your problems, your own insecurities on somebody else. That's all I'm going to say about this whole situation.
Adapt or die.
Right. Yeah. Dave, anything left?
Yeah, I want to go back to this. All right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Eric, are doing fine. I love what you're doing because you're doing everything you love and you love it, okay? But and there was a post a couple weeks ago, I'm really a pick of the week, all right? It was asking for opinions. And I put an opinion because I just wanted to say the other side because the other side isn't shown. And I wanted to show that opinion because all I see are morphs. I love morphs. Morphs are pretty. They're awesome. But nobody seems to want to step up and show this other side. I'm so frustrated right now. I don't even know what to say. just one of those things where I love every part of the hobby too. I love it. But I want other people to take a step back and realize, look, you can breed a zebra jag, whatever. We're all breeding zebra jags. But what about a Holm Harris scrub or a Boland's pythons or Key Island skinks or something other rare that's not even being bred yet or even being figured out? What about any of the scrub clade? My whole point here is that there's other things outside of morphs. There are more things that we can be working with and focusing our time on. I don't go on other people's things and jump around and say, hey, your morph fucking sucks. But I want to, when there's an opinion piece out there, I want to put it out and say, look, there's more. There is more to be said and learned and worked with. And
I think
as a hobby, it's almost a disgrace if we just pick common species and we keep propagating morphs. If you do that, I'm doing it. But I think we all need to take a step back and also find something rare. And maybe that's a selfish or like condemnation thing to say, but still, we took in these animals for our own interest and we wanted to observe them and learn about them because they were cool. And then at some point it shifts where we want to produce something. But what about the animals we haven't produced very frequently or successfully in captivity, or the animals that used to be here now gone? All right.
Yep. I think the problem though is that you know, people don't know about those species, and that just goes back to my point. Rather than posting, like, I don't know what you're talking about, Dave. I kind of forgot. I kind of remember you saying something about this, but I think my approach would be this: is that if somebody posts up a picture, let me back up a second. The whole, I got to be honest with you, one of the things that kind of turns me off to ball pythons is the fact that when people talk about it, they talk about it in terms of genes. Like, it's, you know, I never tune into, and this is kind of what turned me off to ball pythons and turned me on to Morelia, is the fact that I'm just a snake nerd, man. That's all I am. I'm just a snake nerd. I read books. I write in freaking copy books. I take all the information I can. I observe my snake. I try to figure out what's going on. I learn more stuff from just looking at my snakes, and observing it. I got to be honest, I learn stuff from everybody. Jack, you come over to my house and you'll say something. And I'll say, oh, shit, I never thought of it that way. Just interacting with people, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I what do I know? I'm no expert or anything, but I guess it kind of like it makes me upset or not upset. I don't even know. And I kind of have to think about this sometimes when I'm talking, especially on the radio show, because it's this balance is that, you know, I don't want to get into the carpet python world where all you're talking about is, oh, this is a super caramel, super zebra, super blah, 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 blah. You know, nobody cares anymore about the fact that, you know, this is what this animal does in the wild. This is where it comes from. This is what its natural history is. This is how you, you know, to breed this successfully. Look, you can maternal incubate these pythons because they do a fabulous job at it. For whatever reason, they seem to be the best ones to do it. And maybe that has to do with the fact that Morelia people in general just are snake nerds, and they just are like always trying to push it a little bit further. You know, oh, I wonder if we do this. This is what they do in the wild, so let's see what happens. You know, and then maternal incubation becomes this easy thing. You've done it, Dave. I've done it. Zach, you've done it, and a lot of other people have done it. It's just a cool experience to go through, and they're the best at it. From what I can tell, from what people say, it seems like they're the only people that seem to do it. It just I don't want to get into it to where, you know, at some point that's where all we talk about, because that's not what carpet pythons, that's not what draws me to carpet pythons. But you can't deny that it's a fact of what they are. I mean, to me, I'm the guy. I want the whole set. I want the whole thing. I want to work with the whole group because they're just that cool. I don't want to waste cage space with something else that I'm not into. You know, I dig the way that their heads look, their scales. They're just it for me, you know, that the whole Morelia complex. You know, and scrub pythons, they don't even have morphs. They don't have anything to do with, you know, and I work with them. You know, why? Because they're cool, you know, and guess what? They're not for everybody. And I'm not going to breed them with the hopes that, you know, hopefully I can breed them. But I'm not going to breed them and think that I'm going to become a millionaire at it, because I don't care about that. What I care about is the fact that, you know what, I figured out how this species works. I made these observations. This is what the data I took. And then I can compare it with somebody else that's done the same thing and say, you know what, hey, look, you know what, maybe these aren't so hard to breed because this is what you have to do and this is how you have to go. And then all of a sudden somebody that really wants to work with them, maybe that's where, you know, people need to go when they're trying to promote that underdog of a species. They need to just stop going and worrying about what other guy is doing and then just go post up what you're doing. You know, pimp out what you're doing. If you dig coastals, pimp the shit out of them, man, because they're cool snakes. You know, I mean, if you just have this banded coastal, hey, man, that's cool. You know, do it. I will agree with you that the whole morph thing, if it goes to the way of the ball python type of thing, then I get what you're talking about. But I don't see it going that way. And the fact that everybody's paranoid that it's going to go that way makes it even, to me, makes it, it's almost like you're focusing on that. Stop focusing on that. If you want people to dig an inland, then frickin' post up a picture. You know, Tim Tindall, he's posting up pictures of inlands all the time. Guy doesn't have a morph that I know of, but that guy's the guy that got me into inlands, because every day we go, here's a picture of my inland. Here's what its head looks like. Here it is out in the sun. Here it is. You know what I mean? I don't know. That's I'm kind of tapped out on the issue, but I didn't mean to cut you off, Dave.
No, that's all right. I don't want to make it seem like I'm trying to condemn somebody, because I feel like that's what it's turned into in that crazy little rant. I just wanted to come on here and present a side or opinion, perhaps. And it's not meant to divide. It's not meant to start telling people to jump into other people's threads and say, you're a douchebag, quit bringing up, you know, it's just an open side, an opinion that I kind of want us all to step back and consider.
And Dave, a lot of what you're saying, I 100% agree with you. And what you're saying is exactly my concerns with the whole morph game is exactly your concern, without a doubt. And I'm sure that's Eric's concerns as well. I think the difference with me is I can't change other people's opinions. I just have to show them what I'm doing and hope that they see that as an example and follow. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the way I'm approaching it. I'm not going because it is frustrating. I understand your frustration. Believe me. I 100% get you. But, you know, at some point we have to say, all right, you know what? I can't convince this guy, so I'm just going to show him instead. And that's it. That's what it comes down to, really, you know?
Right.
Right.
All right. So I think
Deep breath.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Did everybody
good? Everybody good? Happy? Anybody crying?
No. Should we go to the pedigrees next? Because that kind of segues
Dave's
from
for last because we're gonna bash it out again after when we come to that one.
The hell would waste your time with pedigree? Fuck. Mm.
Well,
oh, God, Dave, you're still here. Sorry.
Well,
pedigrees are awesome.
Well, here's my problem with. Go ahead, Dave. You're the champion.
Your
for
pedigree,
pedigree,
man.
So I'll let you
go.
I'll chime in on this after Dave because
you guys are probably going to say exactly what I'm going to say. So I'll let you go. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead,
Dave.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to start first. I caught up in the Marilia Python chat board.
Go ahead, man. Go for it.
Yeah, so the number one thing, I'm not a Chondro guy. I'm going to say that first off. But the number one thing I really admired about them was that I could go onto their website. Like Rico Waters, man, I can go onto his website, and he has just got the most detailed lineages and records I have ever seen for some of these chondros. And it's all for just, maybe sometimes it's for purity, or maybe sometimes it's for just tracing designer lineages. But, you know, so what I'm trying to do, a lot of people are trying to do with carpet pythons, is selectively breed. So at some point, I just kind of stopped and said, why aren't we doing these? It takes work and it takes effort, but at the end of the day, if you're trying to reach a goal, why aren't we documenting it? If you're trying to make the most fluorescent yellow and velvet black jungle, why aren't pedigree it? If you're trying to show off, you have a perfect, beautiful, refined lineage of jungle carpets, wouldn't it help to have a piece of paper behind that that shows the parents, the grandparents, everything back behind them? Or if you're trying to do striping, like Hilo and with tigers, if you're trying to reach a fully striped tiger, doesn't it help to have pictures of parents that have complete striping, spotted striping, or whatever it is to get to that point? Or
right, and I completely agree with you. It does help to have pictures of parents, grandparents, and complete lineages of what you're trying to do. You just so you know for a fact what the hell you're, if you're on the right course. So
right. And I just kind of wanted to pick it up and start it. Aside from the selective aspect, there's another aspect of inbreeding. Guys, we have Australian pythons. Unless the Australian government decides to loosen its grip or we break through somehow, what we've got is what we've got. And I know reptiles can take inbreeding, but I think it also is going to help to be able to look at the interconnected web of what animals are related, what animals are not. Like, how can I genetically diversify this next clutch? How can I keep this going strong? Oh, there was a problem with this animal, and my animals are related to it. Maybe I should breed it to this animal that's got a better history behind it. And
yep.
It just seemed like it was time to implement it.
Right.
Kudos to you, Dave. Kudos to you, my friend.
Yeah.
Because
I have not had the drive to do such, so... And I even stolen a few of the ones you made that were for my babies. So,
who wants to go next?
You know what? I'll go next.
Go for it.
Okay. I got everything Dave said 100%, 150% agree with. And it's such a shame. This is the topic that's kind of, you know, it really irritated me. It's such a shame because people who have been trying to push this pedigree idea have been getting a lot of backlash from the carpet community, as in, like, you know, jokes or, you know, people, I don't know, man, you know, it's like people like Dave and others are trying to, in my opinion, better the hobby, and it's such a shame that, you know, we have other people who try to demean that, and just because they're too lazy to do anything about it, they go ahead and say, you want to know about this clutch I had? That's ridiculous. And, you know, they just, it's just, it's really irritating when you try to go to a breeder, just any old breeder, and you're trying to ask them for information, and, you know, first of all, they either don't know it. You maybe even talked about something that was a year ago, 2 years ago, and they just don't know it. They just don't have those records, right? And so now you're trying to go back and you're trying to create a pedigree that was never kept, records that were never kept, yet this person is telling you this is pure, this is not pure, or this person is telling you this is, but they don't have any records to back any of this up, you know what I mean? And it's so frustrating that when you ask them for it, you get a lot of like, oh, what do you mean? How can you question what I've been doing? Or it's just, it's almost like there's a change that people like Dave and I and Eric and, you know, others want to have implemented, and there's people who are just way too stubborn to even want to do it. It's almost like this, I don't want to say new school of breeders or whatever, but it's almost like this not even next generation, but I guess these newer guys that want to do things a little bit different, and it seems like the older school guys or guys who've been doing it longer just don't want anything to do with it. Nothing to do with it at all, you know, and then proceed to even make fun of us for even trying to do it. And to me, that is pathetic. It really is pathetic, you know, and I just can't understand it. I can't understand it. We're trying to not to fix the problems they started, but honestly, that's honestly the case, man. We're trying to go back and get records on these things. That way, the people who come after us are not going to be so screwed like we are now. You know what I mean? Like, I can't, trying to find, you know, the grandparents to my snake now, I have no freaking idea. But I hope that whoever I sell to are not going to have that same problem I have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I think it's just, it's frustrating, man. It's so frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, I'll chime in there, Zach, if you want. I think that for someone in my particular spot, breeding morphs and combos and crossing subspecies and such, it's very important for me to know and to represent that as accurately as I can. I've only had two seasons where I bred. And it's not like I have a ton of clutches or anything, but I want to keep it manageable so that if somebody does contact me, I'm going to know exactly, what I had or, you know what I mean? So that, they can have that. I think to me that adds an extra value for my pure stock.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe nobody cares about it now, but they will later on, which, you know, again, I go back to the whole thing with the whole morph thing and everybody saying they're pure and da-da-da-da-da, but yet they don't care about making – you're absolutely right, Dave. We should take something from the Chondro community and try to copy it, because that's kind of how they keep their designers and their pure, you know, locality stock separate from what's going on. You know, if you have something from such and such clutch, I mean, they even name them, and you know what I mean? You're going to know it by the name of the snake. It's like Madame Blueberry and stuff like that. I think we should do more of that, you know, so
yeah.
You know that what that snake is by the name. It's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like promoting yourself. I mean, you think about the guys that did that, and you're going to know their snakes forever because, you know, they produce stellar results, and whoever was breeding them took the time to know that lineage. And, you know, Dave, you're the guy that's doing all the work. I mean, you're going and you're contacting these people and looking up these different things. And, you know, it is. It's a pain in the ass, and it takes time. But, you know, I mean, Dave's pretty much done the legwork for a lot of the, you know, a lot of the stuff that a lot of people are working with, you know what I'm saying? And there it is. And I, to me, it's just a bonus to me. I mean, if you're looking for pure stock and you know that, hey, I got this from this guy and this came from this and this line and I mix it together and I got this and, you know, this is where the lineage is traced back. I mean, I think that's just an added bonus. I think you're doing people a disservice. What it just, there was a post over on MP today, and it said, I bought this snake. What is it? You know? Duh. You're never going to know. And it's nothing against this guy, and it's a shame because he's getting in the carpets, and, he's, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, I got this snake, and it's cool and whatever, but who knows? The only way you're going to know that is by if the breeder has the info or not, you know? That's the only way. And I just think that it's something that we should embrace. And you know what? I don't care if other people do it or not. I don't give a shit. It doesn't matter to me because guess what? I'm going to do it. And if you want something that has lineage as far as back as I can trace it, well, then, you know, come to me because I got it. And I think Dave, Zach, you know, you're going to have the same thing. And if you don't want to take the time, to me, that's just like it solidifies how much you're into this, how much you're willing to go. Or, you know, I think, Dave, you're probably in the same boat as me, and maybe, Zach, you are, and I don't know where you fit in this, Ellen, because I never really talked to you about this. But, I mean, you kind of want to know. To me, when you got it all laid out there, you start to see what the traits are that get passed down from parents to grandparents to great-great. You know what I mean? You're seeing it right in front of your face. And I think it just would make us better as breeders because, you know, carpet pythons are so, you know, you never know what you're going to get. You know, stuff is going to pop out and you're going to be like, where the hell did this come from? You trace back, you look at the lineage and there it is. And, you know, I don't know. That's kind of my two cents on it. I know, I don't know if anybody wants to add something to that, but I know Andrew Paris is on the line there, and he probably wants to tap in on some subject.
Bring him on.
Oh, man.
Andrew, welcome to Morelia Python Radio. What's
hey,
you,
what's
sir?
Going on, everybody?
What up, man?
How you guys doing?
Good.
All right.
I just want to say a couple of things. First of all, I've been pretty much laughing the entire time, you know, on the chat, on the forums. It's been absolutely great. I love the passion that I'm hearing. I think before we move on, I'm pretty sure I can sum this up concisely for all of us. I think we can all agree that what the Morelia Python world needs is a vast divide between purists and morph lovers that separates us indefinitely and turns the rest of the reptile world away, you know.
I love it. That's exactly
a schism, a schism that will inevitably diminish it and result in undercutting and bickering. You know, morphs are the devil. Purists are arrogant. We also need less passion from people like you, Owen, Derek, David, Dave and Zach. I do, however, believe, as one brilliant breeder and host said once upon a time, that we should, quote-unquote, pimp the shit out of things. that's pretty much what I've picked up so far this show. So
there you go.
No, in all honesty, I think one of the things that I've loved so much about this this part of the hobby, this little secluded part of the hobby, is what we all boast and what we began to speak about in the very beginning, and that is things like Carpet Fest and what we enjoy so much on NPR and on the forums and stuff like that. And I've always thought so highly of our group. But there is that other side, you know, because here we are talking about how great, you know, this group is, how great Aurelia files are. And yet there is that dark side of it, you know, where people are bickering and pointing the finger and looking down their noses, and it is pretty asinine. So, you know, we may joke here and there, like you mentioned, joking about, you know, Eerians or the brown snakes and morphs versus this, and I've taken part in all of that, but it's all in good fun. And the bottom line is, until I have my hands on pretty much every species, you know, I'm not going to be satisfied. So anyway, good work, fellas, and that's all I have to say. I'll hang up and just listen.
All right
thanks for
Andrew.
Calling in, Andrew.
All right, Andrew.
There you go.
If there is one thing I would like to touch on that phone call just a little bit.
Yeah.
If think, Eric, you and I in that debate were trying to separate a divide, but rather to share the opinions of different viewpoints in this hobby. I just saw some people saying that it seemed like there was a divide growing. I don't know about me. I wasn't trying to create a divide. I don't think you were. You love it all, for Christ's sake.
No, yeah.
But I just want to make sure that we can leave this and agree that it was just to share opinions and get it out there and to break the passion meter.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that, look, at the end of the day, you can opinion. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, man. We can disagree on things, and to me, that's the spice of life. I mean, like I said before, I mean, you know, that's what gets people thinking. That's what pushes things ahead. That's what that's what the hobby needs, is people to come in and put that different spin on it, or give a little bit of a different opinion, and maybe it will make you think in a way that you didn't think before. And you know, you just have to do it in a way, I think, that doesn't bash somebody else, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
No,
I just think that Andrew just said this, you know, like one of the things that drew me to this community, and it still is a great community, is the fact that, you know, everybody was passionate about the species, about working with the snake and trying to figure out what made it tick. And that's why I would go on MP forums and try to figure out what, you know, like what these breeders were doing and what kind of insight they could get. And yeah, they had their debates on there, and sometimes they were heated. But, you know, I think it just showed that whoever they were passionate about what they were doing. And I just think that, you know, it's okay to disagree. I think at the end of the day that, you know, you should just do what you love to do, man. Just do what you love to do. I mean, I guess the thing that I don't understand is, for the whole, when you're dividing it up and you're saying it's divided, and let's just say for the sake of argument that you got the morph guys over here and you got the pure guys over here. You know, if the pure stuff is the stuff that you think is so cool or so good, you know, eventually they're going to push guys like me aside, because they're not going to want anything that's not pure. And you guys will be standing there with the pure stuff. So I don't understand it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, if you're getting into carpet pythons and you're like, oh, I'm going to get a Jag, and then you find out that you got, you know, oh, this is an IJ Jag. Well, I don't want an IJ Jag. I want a coastal Jag. Okay, well, who's going to have coastal Jags? Well, I'm going to go to this guy over here because I know that his stock is pure. And, you know, so, you know, meanwhile, you don't really give a shit what I'm doing over here, because you know eventually that person's going to come your way. Or maybe they won't. But, I mean, to me, it's all about helping each other out. You know, like, it's just like when we were at the show. That's how we were. Here I am. I'm at this thing with Owen. Moe's over here. They're come over. They want jungles. I don't have jungles. But if you want jungles, if you want really good jungles, go over and see Mo, because she's the one that had – I mean, you want to talk about focus on a project. Good God. And look at the results she's got. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Doesn't care about what anybody else sees. Who cares? Is it yellow? Who cares? You know, she's got focus, and she doesn't give a shit what anybody else thinks, and look at the results she's got. That's all I'm saying. So you can take it however you want to take it. It's not a divide. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not mad at you, Dave. You know what I mean? It's just that there's your opinion. There's my opinion. And now it's up to the listeners to make up their opinion. Maybe some people will think I'm an idiot. Maybe some people will think you're an idiot, Dave. Everybody thinks you're an idiot, Owen. No, I'm just kidding.
No, of course they do.
No, you're not. That's too much. That's true.
No. That was already stated, so it's okay. Continue.
Okay. But, okay. So what do you think with the pedigrees? Are we? Owen, did you have anything you want to rhyme in on that anymore? I don't. You said a little bit, but.
I think the pedigrees are a great idea. I mean, I unfortunately don't have the drive to find out all my animal's pedigree, short of which breeder I bought it from and maybe some pictures of the parents. I mean, I know I sent Dave pics of Madame Blueberry because I had him from years ago because that happened to be one of my snake's mothers.
Thank you.
I also do, and you're welcome, I also do name every single one of my snakes so that it's easier for someone to find the parents of a baby that they bought from me. And I do that to help with pedigree or something along those lines. But no, I don't take it to a full extreme that Dave did. I wish I could. I wish I had files on every single one of my guys. I just don't. And don't think I really have the time.
So here's my thing,
Dave Kelly to do it. Go ahead, Seth.
Here's my thing, Owen. You may not be able to go back and track all your animals' lineages down or anything else. But
yeah. You
can start, you know what I mean? You can start tracking, I'm sure you are, you know what I mean? You can start tracking your lineages for the animals you're producing, you know what I mean? You can say, hey, this is parents, you can make a pedigree for every animal you produce. It doesn't mean you have to go back, exactly, but see, you're starting it. So,
yeah. You
know, I know I have a couple animals where I'm stuck, man. I can't, you know, I know they're legit, I know they're X, Y, and Z, but... pictures of that animal's parents are not to be found.
They're hard to find a lot
exactly,
of things.
Exactly, or, yeah, because the breeder doesn't have them anymore, or the breeder got out of it, or their computer crashed, or, you know, all kind of stories or whatever. So, but guess what? You know, I have the story there. I'm going to write it down. It's there. This is the information I could give you.
Right.
This is, you know, and you just started. The key is if everybody said, you know what, on my next clutch, I'm going to send a pedigree with it for whatever information I have. If everybody started doing that from right now, in 5 years, we're going to have pedigrees that are going to look halfway decent. You know
right.
What I mean,
what I do is when I hatch a baby, it gets a number, and the number includes the first initials of the sire's name and the dam's name and the year it was born and what egg it came out of kind of shit. So if you got that number, I can tell you exactly what the parents were. And from there, you can at least start. So if you can get back to me, I can at least give you the parents. And in some cases,
right.
I can give the grandparents. So, but in other cases, it's as far as it goes. Like I said, I wish I could go back and doing something good of like, you know, when Dave bought that one M-Pen for me, he went back on both sides of the family, and I stole that shit from him. So, you know, I got it now. So
right.
whenever
I mean.
It comes up to those, which is unfortunate, is I lost both those carpets. Otherwise, I've been like, now every year I got lineage and information past that. But, you know, it kind of sucks. But I wish I could. And more power to Dave for chasing down that kind of those leads and all that shit. I mean, kind of like a mini Nick Mutton with chasing down leads with these things. So it's all good.
And Zach brought up a really big point here. Computer crashes happen, so back this shit up. Get a photo bucket account, take a picture of that lineage or whatever you got to do, make a folder of all the parents, store them on there. Because what's going to happen 10 years from now if you've got, you know, crazy number of generations into your animals and somebody contacts you and crashes, have a backup. Just keep it in one place and assume it's going to be there for all eternity. make sure you're going to be able to access this anytime from a reliable storage location and get it to somebody who's going to need it.
Yeah. My computer just died, so I got no pictures of anybody left.
See?
It's important.
Yeah. Touche.
Yeah.
I want to say this 661 is Casper calling in. 661,
okay.
Casper.
No way.
Is that you, Casper?
What?
Hello? Maybe not.
Yeah.
Hello. No, I guess not.
Damn.
All right, we tried. He said
we
he was calling in, but I couldn't. Yeah, I don't know.
We're gonna see Casper.
If that was you, sorry, buddy.
Okay. Well, Casper's came all the way to the ICS from where's he live? Denmark? Is that where he comes
from?
Yeah.
So
Denmark,
you people on the East Coast.
Shame on you.
No,
Casper's from Denmark, and he's staying with Howard. So
we're gonna leave the Sid talk until overtime.
Oh Lord, no!
Sid talk will go into overtime because that's another one of those touchy subjects where people will have to listen back to the show. But I think the thing that I wanted to hit on real quick, and this is kind of important to me, and I know me and Zach we differ on this. So I'm gonna go first. This is the Facebook first, the forum. And I think they're both good. I use both of them. And I got to admit, over the last 6 months, I probably spent more time on Facebook than I did on the forum. And it got me thinking. And, you know, I just think about it, and I think it's a bad thing. And I think it's a bad thing because Facebook – makes it hard to go back and search for something. I think of when I got into the hobby and the forum and the chat rooms and the things that I learned from just reading people's posts. I think of for whatever reason the tiger carpet python thread that's probably like what 97 pages long over on MP. Like to get through that post. But to hear the breeders go back and forth and to see what it was like in the beginning. One of the things that I didn't realize until last year, I don't know why, but they used to have the forum like Morelia all under one, Morelia Spilota on the forum.
It was awesome.
And everything was under that one thing. So if you go back into there, you can you can type in, I mean, you're looking at threads, and that's kind of where I found, a lot of, the IJs and stuff that I work with. Unfortunately, a lot of the pictures are gone, but still, the breedings and the people that were doing it, and I'm looking at it, and people that, when they were first breeding IJs and how exciting it was, and, just to see where it's come from, I don't know. I like that ability to go back and to learn from somebody's experience, because here I have maternal incubation, and Facebook is good for instantaneous stuff. The thing that I like about Facebook is the fact that it kind of brings the whole world into one thing, so to speak. But I can see what people in Australia are doing. You can see what people in the UK are doing. You can see what people in America are doing, in Canada, yada yada yada. And you might be. And see some of the different things that are going on in reptiles that you don't keep because you're friends with somebody and they keep something else. You know what I mean? So I think it's good in as far as promoting, carpet pythons and Morelia, because I think that has something to do with the fact of people getting into it. I think that is a huge factor in people taking notice to something that maybe they wouldn't have noticed before because it was all kind of on the forum, and how else would you get to the forum by just word of mouth, or somebody tells you that you sell them a carpet or see them at a show or something like that. But I don't know. I kind of am leaning back towards the forum. I think I don't want to see that venue lost
right.
Facebook. So that's kind of my thoughts. How about you go next, Zach, since you don't like the forum? Or I shouldn't say you don't like the forum. You just find it easier with Facebook. Go ahead.
Yeah. I've tried to do the forum thing on a few forums. And I think the format is what I have a problem with. I think it's counterintuitive. The whole format just, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't have a specific problem with any one forum. It's just a general forum, the way it's set up. I have to click. My issue is I'm a very visual person, right? So I know I like to look at pretty things. So, you know, if I'm on my Facebook feed, I can scroll down. Oh, and I catch my click. You know, I can see it. I can comment on it, whatever, move on. You know, I could do all those things. So for me, that's easier. I even tried the whole Tapatalk app on my iPhone to try to get me back into the forums, for some reason, this is not clicking with me for some reason. I think some of that is because forums are very concentrated on a specific. All right, so Morelia Pythons is Morelia Pythons, right? I know this is Morelia Pythons Radio, but to be honest, I have a lot of different interests. Like, I like inverts. I like my skinks. I like my chondros. I like my IJs. So, you know, I like a lot of different things. So I feel like Facebook, I can see what Jordan, you know, is doing. I can see that he's breeding, you know, his crocodile lizards, or I can see that this guy is doing this, or Spencer's monitors, you know, first breeding in the U.S. has just happened, or I can see that, you know, it feels like I'm getting more information that way. But I do go to specific forums if I'm looking for specific information, and I will go through and look that stuff up. So I do utilize it in that way. I guess my biggest problem is not participating in the forum. So I feel like I'm almost like I'm taking from the forum, but I'm not giving anything back. Which I know is a problem. You know, I feel like wrong doing that. And I'm like, oh, I'll just look this thing up. I'll never log in and I'll never post or ever, but I'm getting all this information on this forum, but I'm not contributing anything, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, that's one thing. I also feel like a lot of, I know even like, I'm not going to name any specific forums, but this is not the MP forum, but you'll go on this specific forum and you'll say, oh, so what do you guys think about this nutritional thing? Dude, there's been like 10 posts about that. Just look it up. Like, Jesus Christ, we can't have like a new discussion about these things? You know what I mean? It's like, it's almost like, oh, dude, we already talked about that. Hello. Like, you know, it's almost like that sort of like, oh, dude, we've been through this already. Can we not talk about UVB lighting anymore? There's about 5 different other posts about this already. You know, just use a search function, dude. What are you, an idiot? Like, it almost feels like that kind of, like, mentality where it's like, okay, so why am I even here? You know what I mean? Why am I even posting? Why am I even trying to share my experience or put my viewpoint when you're saying it's already been said? You know? And so, I don't know. It just it bothers me. So it's like I kind of just stay away from it and do my own thing on Facebook. But that's just my thing. If I had an honest, honest observation or something I really want to discuss, I will take it to the forum, you know. It's just currently I don't have anything new to add that hasn't already been said, if you get what I'm saying, you know. So that's my take on it.
Okay. How about you, Dave? Anything?
I've been in both, but my heart kind of lays with the forum because that's where I kind of first came to in this hobby. You know, back before Facebook was even being used for reptiles, to my knowledge, or I don't know, maybe it was. I don't know. Anyways, and I just kind of fell in love with the wealth of information there and the debates and the discussion. And it almost felt like a community in a way. And I don't really get that feeling with Facebook. It's just one of those things where it's like, oh, here's a picture, here's this, here's this. Oh, we're going to have this really long discussion, and it's over now, it's really hard to find. There's no real connection. But I can go on the forum, or I used to be able to go on the forum, and we could have, there's a discussion that we could have, or there's some lively debate rolling. And well, lately, it seems like it's kind of died down, mostly the pictures. And I think I'm going to be trying to take more time to go back to the forum and kind of help get it back to what it was, if even possible at this point. Because I just feel like really the Pythons in particular had a strong community group feeling. And
yeah.
So, and that, I'm glad you mentioned that tiger thing. And there was the Jag Neuro 1-2. It lasted forever, and there was so much great information. And anybody could jump in and talk about it and have something interesting to say. And then it was debated, and now it's there forever.
Right.
I've seen some really good discussions on Facebook, really good discussions. But if I wanted to go back and reference them now, it would either be a chore or impossible. So I got to go Team Forum here.
Yep, I agree. How about you, Owen? Where do you fall?
I think that there's qualities in both. The problem is that a lot of the times what I saw at the forums is you had two different things going on. You had the page that was always lit up was the Morph page because people wanted to show their best and brightest, their newest thing. I mean, a lot of times people just want to post pictures up there and just show off what they got. And the thing is, Facebook makes that a whole hell of a lot easier, even when someone makes a page called Morelia Pick of the Week. I mean, that it just gets freaking flooded with pictures. And that's what a lot of people want to do, and that's fine. That's Facebook is a great venue for that. But then there's the other aspect of wanting to know, wanting to gain some knowledge about a certain question, a certain thing that you really can't just put out there on Facebook. Chris posted up something about trying to dig up information and trying to figure out new approaches for breeding the white lips. The amount of information that we got on the forum was absolutely insane. And it's going to help us out a very big deal. And I don't think you would have gotten that same response if you just posted it up on Facebook. I think there may have been one or two links. There may have been one or two people saying, you know, oh, I tried it this way. But with the forum being a place, it's almost like a digital library filled with scholars from around the world on shit that you want to know. So you can't just ignore it. But if you just want to throw pictures up of your Python, why not use Facebook? So it's kind of like I kind of jump between the two, and I find that both have their strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, I find that Facebook is good for, like, it seems like our society today is just, it's just instantaneous. Everything is instantaneous. News is instantaneous. Mm-hmm. Everything is, you know, happens in a second. Even decision-making is, like, instantaneous, and it's kind of, you know, just from a standpoint of, like, nobody, just in general in life, like, you hear, like, this little sound bite, and everything that you decide is based off this tiny little sound bite. And, you know, you're not taking time to, like, really find out the whole story or what's going on. To me, mm-hmm. Facebook kind of falls into that type of thing. It's good for, like, that instantaneous, you know, hey, I want to check it out and see a cool pic of the snake, and then, you know, somebody has a something that they want to say about it, or something like that, and it kind of, you know, it's cool that way. It's good for promoting the radio show. It's good for, like, you know, because I can go over there and I can put on the Morelia Python radio page. I can put links to things that, you know, people can go and check out, or, you know, posts that people put over there, or things that I may think is cool. So, I mean, that to me, that's a cool thing to it. You can't really do that on the forum. But the problem is that I think that the forum is just, I think that it's just better for the community atmosphere, and you know, like you guys were saying earlier, that I just think it has that information that you can go back and research and check on. But Zach, it's kind of like what you were saying to Owen, man. Like, you want to put that information out there. You kind of have to do it and be a part of it for the next generation. You can't just like rely on the information that was there and say, I don't have nothing worthy to post on there or whatever the case may be, because, you know, a couple of years from now, somebody's going to be looking to find out, you know, you said UV lighting or whatever the topic is. And they're going to want to know about it, and they're going to want to know what you think about it. And they're going to go, and they're going to search it out and see what your thoughts are. And they're not going to be able to find that on Facebook, but they're going to be able to find it on the forums, you know. So I'm just saying, like, more of that conversation has to come back to the forum. It seems like that, you know, I've seen it where Dave, you know, it seems like Josh and Dave and, you know, they have all these good conversations about carpet pythons and whatnot, and then it just kind of gets lost, and it's gone. You know, I wish that was over the forum so that you could go back and, you know, kind of digest it again. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, and maybe you have a different opinion the next day, or maybe you thought about it a little more, or a little, or researched it even. Maybe you went and looked up what they were talking about. You know, that's just my thoughts on the thing. So, hello.
Yeah.
You guys there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Pausing for Paris dramatic effect.
Didn't work.
No, sorry.
Andrew is saying that on my Morelia Python Facebook page.
Oh, no, don't look
I
at the picture. Don't look at the picture. Don't
on
look
my
at
Facebook
it.
Page? My page,
yeah.
Or Morelia Python Radio?
So the Morelia Python Morelia Python Radio page, I think.
I don't see it. A pic of my dog.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you see it?
Yeah, I already saw it. I liked it.
Oh.
Was
yeah.
it
okay.
a rat? It is, hold on. It is on the Morelia Python radio page.
Huh, I can't find it. Oh, well.
Huh.
Look
at this. Well, basically, he took your dog's, the picture of your dog's breathing, put it on a shingle bag. There it is. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
I got it.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Awesome.
And see,
that's
without
it,
Facebook, we would not. We would have to wait for the joys awesome. That just happened.
Isn't that a morph or what? I mean, is that a morph?
Yeah, it might be. Oh my God, it's a new locality. We must breed it to a jaguar. Oh, wait, sorry, wrong species.
Hey, just wanted to let you know before we hit on this last one, Casper.
Mm.
He told me to give a shout out to you guys. Reception
nice.
In his hotel was too bad and he can't call in, but just want to let you guys know that he's looking forward to meeting us all at ICAS, and he has been drinking
nice.
Some Danish booze.
He didn't save it for me. I wanted him to save it for me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Danish booze is good.
You
don't
feel sorry.
There you go.
We should bring Casper an official Philly cheesesteak. There we go.
Dude,
Dave,
those
don't count.
Do not
you're in Ohio.
Well. No.
What?
They do not travel well. A cheesesteak is going to be soggy. It's going to be just
valid nasty. Point. Valid point. I will
you gotta
get
it right off
on
the
way,
wait.
And I
you're,
will describe
you're
it to him.
Come on now. Come.
What? Yeah, I know.
Owen,
I
you're killing me, man.
I'm
you
sorry.
Don't you don't travel with a cheesesteak, man.
That's what I'm saying. We'll bring it. I'll eat it, and then I'll describe it to him when we get there.
All right, man.
These are the important issues on Morelia Python's radio.
Shut up.
Yeah, cheesecake.
Don't get him the hell out of here.
That's awesome. All right. So the last topic that we have, dum-dum-dum-dum.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
People are never going to talk to me again after this. Oh, man.
Oh, we're going to be
I'm going to let you start this one, Zach, but I'm going to set it up for you, and then you can rant away, my friend.
oh man!
For anybody that is not familiar with carpet python lingo, there is a word called sib. It used to pertain to jag sib, and what they're saying is that this was a sibling to the jag carpet that was in the clutch.
Lord.
It's kind of I think you'll understand a little bit more after Zach is done talking of how dumb that can sound, I guess. You know, some people are against using that term, and some people think that there's some kind of special powers that the sibling possesses when breeding time comes, that somehow it's going to magically make super nice carpet pythons. Sibling magic, so to speak. Go ahead, Jack, go for it.
Oh my God, Sib. Sib is the carpet equivalent of Dinker. Like, it's bad, man. It's just bad. Like, Sib is total bullshit. Bottom line, it's a marketing ploy, man. It's saying, hey, look at these normals. You should buy them because his brother was a Jag. Like, what? Like, it doesn't make any sense. So what you're saying is, the trait that everybody wants, being the Jag or whatever, this one doesn't have it, but its brother did. So this makes it more special. Like, it doesn't, it's just so dumb. I mean, if we take a Jag and we're saying that a Jag is co-dominant, right? So if we breed it to a normal and we get 50% normals, those normals, the reason why they're normal is because they don't have the Jag gene, right? So why
right.
would they
right.
be any more special than regular normal? Because they're not. They're not. It's the same shit, man. It's the same stuff. But guess what? You can go to a reptile show, you can say, oh, this is a Jag Sib. A what? Oh, its brother was a Jag. Uh-huh. Its mother was a Jag. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's $10 more expensive than it's normal over here. Like, what? It just doesn't make any sense. And for the argument to say that, oh, well, they're brighter color, there's something, or everybody who believes in the whole Jag Sib, whatever, they always say, oh, there's something about them. Yeah, something. They're like, oh, yeah, something is called a $10 higher price tag. That's what the something is. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Listen, what are we all breeding for when we're breeding Jag? Brighter colors, higher contrast, okay? And we're kind of aiming for a reduced pattern, right? So if we're selectively breeding Jag, who's to say that the normals that come out of Jag clutches are not also selectively bred? And that's why a quote-unquote Jag Sib is going to look better than a normal. Because those selectively, bred through the generations, it's gonna show in the normal. And then, I don't get it. It's a marketing ploy, man. That's all it is. That's it. It's like I put that meme up on Rally Pick of the Week where I said where I put the regular jungle and I said zebra sis. I really was like, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. But really, like, that's what you're saying. You're saying that this regular jungle is a zebra sib, and somehow this zebra sib is more special than a regular jungle. It just sounds stupid, right? It just sounds dumb because Jackson is dumb. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense, man. I just wish that whole thing just died. Quick death, because I honestly believe, I don't think people maliciously do it. You know, people say, oh, it's a sib. You know, just to, but I think I don't know, man. I think it's confusing people. That's what I think.
I agree.
If you say these things are sib, you're confusing people. Because then people say, oh, there's something special about this. There's something genetically going on in this animal that makes it that much better. Like, and I think that's just confusion adding to the problem. Like, you never heard, like, here's another example. You don't hear ball python people call their normal ball pythons out of clutches like pastel sibs or like, Mojave sibs. Like,
it's a spider sib.
It's a spider sib. Like, it just sounds stupid. Or like killer bumblebee sib. That just sounds dumb. Because it is. It doesn't make sense.
I think I think maybe the sibling term, I could be wrong because I wasn't around when this was probably going on, but would it be geared more towards the cross
no.
carpet python? Like, for instance, if you bred an IJ Jag and you got IJ Jags, and then you got these other normal-looking ones, you would call this an IJ Jag Sib.
Not from when I gained, it came up once Jag kind of went through,
mm-hmm.
and it was because some of the baby, the Jag Sibs, came out looking different than a normal coastal at the time.
Well,
so,
no, duh, because you just bred
exactly,
a screaming, smoking hot Jag to a normal coastal, you're going to get...
Exactly. So what they did is they called them Jag Sibs, and then it took a bit to raise up those Sibs and breed them with each other and other things to realize that there's really nothing special about them. But by the time that happened, the name had stuck. And it rips through, because I only see Sib really associated with Jag, which is like what Zach was saying. No one is running around saying this is a zebra Sib. No one is. But Jag Sib is a term that got thrown around. I've sold animals under the pretense of it being a Jag Sib, because that's the way that they were displayed at the time I was breeding my Jags. I don't do that anymore. It's just a normal freaking coastal. So there's no point in even saying it. It means nothing. And the confusion, I completely agree. Because the problem is I will sit there all day and I'll explain to someone, listen, it's a Jag Sib. It's not anything special. It is a normal coastal. And all they hear is Jag. It's a Jag. It's something special. You should breed everything because it's a Jag. And then they call me later and they go, nothing happened. I'm like, well, God damn it. So what I will admit, is where the term Sib should be put is with tiger. Because when you breed a tiger to a normal or whatever, you get the tigers, you get the striped ones, but then you get, I think the term that they kick around is lesser tiger. You get ones that do not have the striping, but they have the genetics to produce very nicely striped animals. So if you're going to attach the term Sib to anything, it should have been attached to tiger, because those babies actually hold some kind of merit. One of my best breeders is my female Trinity, and her father was a tiger. She's not a tiger. She got no stripes on her, whatever. None. Every Jag she throws has a bald back, and I just bred her this year to a Jason Balin tiger, and I got a shit ton of tigers, like a ton of them. More than I even expected. So I think Sib was misplaced with Jag. It should have been attached to tiger.
Question.
Yeah. If you're going to use the term, at least use it for something. There, like it, Sib is...
Doesn't it?
Yeah, right now...
No, I need to die. Nope. Need to
doesn't
die.
Doesn't it just
quick,
make more sense to say tiger line coastal?
Yeah. Yeah, because tiger is technically a line, as opposed to an actual morph, because, you know, it follows the striping and all that other fun jazz. When you're speaking to the general public, it's really easy to confuse them. So it's much easier just to say tiger, and they understand that. But then as they gain their knowledge or as they get more and more interested, you can start giving them a little bit more tidbits of information to kind of clarify these things. Like, if someone's getting into monitors, you don't instantly say every single monitor on the face of the planet is venomous. You don't lead with that. You have the really dangerous ones, you have the ones that will definitely kill you, and you have the ones that are safe. And then you can tell them after they've dealt with some things that, oh yes, all of them are venomous, it's just the potency of this a lot, but yada, yada, yada. You got to kind of learn them up the right way. You learn your ABCs before you start writing paragraphs.
Right. I still disagree with the sibling term in this scenario, because wouldn't that just be more confusing, even if you let it off in the beginning?
Well, like, I'm not saying I would use sibling when it comes to tiger. I'm just saying it would make more sense there.
I've
totally stopped using Sib because it is extremely confusing. I sold a caramel I sold the Carmel this year. That her father was my striped tiger, whatever you want to call him, male. And I mentioned once, I accidentally slipped it out saying that, oh, the tiger said Carmel. I said that once. And this guy, after he bought it, went onto the forums and was screaming about how he has a Carmel tiger. And it's like, I did not, no, you do not. There is no tiger in that thing. I'm saying it could have the potential for throwing striped babies, but that is not a tiger. I had to sit him down and explain him to him again that what he had. So sibling is definitely a term that brings more confusion than it does clarity.
Yep.
So it serves no purpose.
I got to totally agree. And I think Zach hit it on the head. I mean, we're selectively breeding for these animals. And not to mention, coastals are variable, man. I mean, look at a Rockhampton, a Proserpine, and a Brisbane. And we don't exactly have a lot of locality coastals here, at least we haven't in the past. And that's when we were all breeding everything together into Jags. So when we're hatching out... Eric, I'm going to use your crazy-looking, weird, super freak, that's Akko, right?
Yep, that's the one. Akko's the one, yep.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, was I muted? Yeah, you're good. Yep.
Yep, good job.
I was just going to say, look at Akko. Like, people might look at him and go, like, oh, there's something special. Well, I see a blend of different coastal localities, and then him showing just incredible... amounts of selective breeding behind him. Don't label it. I mean, I know you're not doing it, so no. Hope it doesn't come out wrong. But you know, I think we need to don't label it because it looks kind of special. Just use a logic behind it and say, well, coastals are variable. I bred a bunch of different looking coastals together, and I've been selectively breeding. Oh yeah, that's what it is. Instead, we just kind of lump it under the term sibling and say, oh man, I think it's mother jag. Oh, man, it's got something special going on. I'm telling you, you breed it. Something special is going to come out. That's retarded. I'm surprised it took us, like, 9 years to figure that out. Didn't the founder guy put that out there?
I think that if I breed Akko to something, I'm going to get red coastals because the line traces back to Madame Blueberry. And that's mm-hmm. what you're seeing.
Yeah.
You know, that I bought that, and when I bought that, that was from Jason Balins, and he used the term Tiger Jag Sib to Tiger Jag Sib pairing. When he breeds those two snakes together, which are just coastals, he gets some really interesting results. And I have quite a few animals from I have one animal from his 08 pairing that he did, and I have three animals from his 09 pairing that he did, and they look completely different, but yet
mm-hmm.
completely
mm-hmm.
Similar at the same time. But some of the results that he got, I don't think he got any that looks like Akko, but he did get these ones that they have the tipping, so to speak, but they turn white.
Yep.
They turn like a bone white. I don't
know
what
that's
from.
Go ahead. It reminds me of like the Brisbane type animals, or maybe I shouldn't speak Brisbane type. But a lot of red animals get gray as they get older. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And if that tip is turning bone. Maybe that's just selective breeding with that red lineage behind it. Does that make sense?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. But I think that when you have, I don't agree with the SIB term, but I'm just gonna debate the other side, so to speak. When you have an animal that comes out and looks like Akko, so to speak, that's where that kind of come from. Where that comes from. Really, what it comes down to, what I think, is just selective breeding. I mean, that's what it is in a nutshell. I mean, it just is silly to think that you're going to breed a jag which intensifies the color and reduces the pattern, that's not going to somehow be represented in the offspring. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just think that the color is passed along. That's what I'm seeing, at least.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because that's what you're shooting for when you are breeding these jags. You're breeding for higher contrast, higher color, and you're breeding for low pattern. So if you're selectively breeding the jags, you're going to affect the normals that come out of these clutches. It's just, and to think that's not going to happen is just silly. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I bet you, this will be funny. I bet you that soon we're going to get zebra, quote unquote, sieves that look a little bit different than, let's say, normal jungle. I bet, because when you're breeding zebras, you're breeding for something that maybe a little bit different than you would breed regular jungle. Maybe you're breeding for cleaner yellow rather than brighter yellow. Maybe, you know what I mean? Like, maybe it'll be a little bit different. Right? See what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So then are we going to start calling, there's something special. Oh, man. Watch out. Oh, man. Let me tell you. You got to get this one, man. This one's, telling you. Don't worry about the extra $25, but this thing is going to rock it, bro. Don't worry. Something special. Something. I don't know what it is, but it's something.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think that, regardless of the term sieve, do you think that if the animal is nicer, that it should be more? I think that more people should put their carpets on a gradient, and they don't.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I see animals that, if you want the creme de la creme of the clutch, it's going to be X amount. Caramels is probably a perfect example of what I've seen. You have some caramels that are smoking hot. You got other ones that are butt-ass ugly. It's still a caramel. But it's not. I mean, Zach, you've seen my stuff. You know the one caramel. It has like a greenish hue to her. Some people might look at her and say, wow, that's really cool, which I do. But you put her next to a caramel and you're going to be like, yeah, okay. you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So, those animals to me should be put on a gradient. I think that if more breeders did that, you would, because carpets are so variable. I mean, you got a clutch where you're going to have this, and then you're going to have that, And I think rather than call it a sib, maybe you should put a price tag on it that says, yeah, this is a really smoking hot coastal, man. So.
There you go.
Yeah. But, I mean, I understand how that can get confusing when you take things to shows because people are idiots. And, oh, wow, I sound like an ass. No, but, people are like, I'm sure Owen probably gets it all the time. Well, why is that coastal more expensive than this one?
I smack him and say because it's prettier.
Yeah, because it's nicer.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's, you see, the gradient, I try not to do the gradient for certain things, but you have to. I mean, that this jag is the better one out of the clutch because he's been eating like a pig since he hatched, and he literally has no color in his saddles. It's just all black. He's kind of cool. So I may put him a couple more bucks than the basic jag at the bottom because, if you want him, if you have an idea for him for your project, you'd be willing to pay more. Yeah, it's completely a financial monetary thing. I'm a dick for doing it. But also
when it comes down to my
super caramels right now, you guys are going to see them this weekend. There are some that are absolute stunners. There are some that are kind of ugly right now that I imagine will grow into their own and become better looking caramels. But for right now, when it comes down to it, you're not going to get away with, if you buy one, let me see how I put this. If you're going to buy one, if you want to save your money and buy one of the uglier ones, and then you get lucky and it turns out to be freaking gorgeous, good for you. But it's not going to be the same price as one that is looking gorgeous now
that has the potential of looking even better further down the road. It all goes back to if you want the good stock, be prepared to pay the money for the good stock. So that's it right now. I mean, and this is probably one of the first years where I've ever actually had to put a full gradient on the animals. Talking with Nick, he and I set the ceiling and the roof to the super caramels for the year, and I'm definitely making sure I stay within that. But when it comes down to it, if you want this really good one that I was thinking about holding back, you're going to pay for it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, and you know what? That's what
take your
be.
Chances with the ugly one.
Yep.
It's still a
yep.
super caramel. And you know what? I've seen buying the not-so-good-looking one, but then breeding it to, if you pick the mate that will strengthen what you want, you know, play to the strengths of your animals, you're still going to get fantastic-looking babies. And that's just, you know, that's just you not willing to breed it to every ugly carpet that you can find. So.
Here's a little question here. I want to, you know, I was just thinking like chondro guys, right? You know, you have the whole red baby versus the whole yellow baby and you know, how reds are sometimes almost double the price of the yellow babies. And it's kind of like, but wait, they were both selecting these bred to be, you know what I mean, just as good of examples. Why is one, you know, because it's red, it's more expensive? Is it, do red babies really turn out better, or is that just the ones everybody wants? So, you know, it would be kind of interesting to hear their kind of take on that. I mean, you should definitely have the round table with some chondro guys, because I think it would be kind of interesting to hear what they think about that whole debate.
Right.
I was thinking, like, is that kind of similar? Are they like, you know, are some people saying, oh, that's all bullshit. You know, if you get the yellow baby, it's just going to look just as good. And you have other guys like, ah, it's red one. I'm telling you. These red ones
no.
are guaranteed to get something. You know, like, how does that play? I mean, I don't know.
There's actually a thread over on Morelia Python forums that talks about red coastals. And in that, they bring up the whole red babies and chondros as well. And they chime in and they talk about that. I actually have it printed out. It kind of intrigued me that much, because back then the debate was on whether there was anything to a red coastal or not. And they were kind of saying that, you know, a red coastal hatches out, it looks really cool, and then it grows up and it becomes this gray, dull snake.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it's kind of like, okay, well, it's really nothing special about it. They kind of related it to chondros, how, you know, yeah, the baby hatches out red and goes through this color phase, and then when, at the end of the day, it turns into a green snake. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of the same type of thought.
It's really interesting, yeah.
It's kind of funny, because
yeah.
You guys have all seen it firsthand. You've all seen Sophie, my big girl.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
She was, when I got her, she was bright red.
Does she throw reds?
Yes and no. I've seen some reds that she had, but I've never kept any back long enough to see what they would become. And I do have this one baby jag downstairs that she threw, the one lone survivor of her clutch, and he is actually like blood red. And I don't know what the hell's going on there. But Sophie,
she's that big
not,
girl, right?
She's my huge, yeah, she's my monster.
See,
so,
if you would have told me what color she hatched, I probably would have guessed red.
Hey, she is dark gray right now. She's nothing but gray.
Yeah.
But when I first got her, she was red. So,
you know, nothing to spin this conversation in a new direction, but I've always thought it was easy to tell adult animals that were red coastals.
I think so too, Dave. I always thought that. I think there's a distinction between.
Yeah.
I can look an adult coastal and probably, I don't know, 9 times out of 10 guess whether or not there were red babies or whether they hatched out as normal babies.
Absolutely.
Look for it, Jack.
Unless you're talking about Jag, because my male Talon was red when he was born, and he's one of those red hypo Jags that really doesn't make any sense with their name because they're neither red nor hypo. But we called them that, and it kind of stuck, and we can't avoid it. But, so, being that the animal was red and is now an adult and has not a single stitch of red on him, or does he not, he doesn't throw freaking red animals either. I'm sorry, what were we talking about again? Right.
Looking at the pickup.
Yeah, you can't even tell. So, I think the Jag, with intermixing with that, the babies can be red, but then I guess the Jag kind of overpowers it, and they just become not as bright yellow. So, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. I kind of look at an adult red jaguar, and I still see something. And I'm not trying to make this sound like dinkers with the sib talk that we just got, you know, called retarded and bashed on. But I don't know. It's just... How do I put this into words, though? Black flecking is a big one. Zach, you know what I'm talking about?
It's almost like the... it's almost like the... I know this is going to sound a little weird, but to me, what I see, because I have a lot of animals that are from the red tiger that's not really from the Madame Blueberry line, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then
well,
I have animals...
You mean that tri-stripe, right?
Correct. And then I have the the Madame Blueberry line red adults as well. I will say that they have like the gray that's in them is almost like a hypo-y type of gray, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Where I look at other grays and it's kind of a darker gray, but this almost like has like a subtle glow to it, if you would.
God, we sound like the Jag Sib guys. Oh,
no.
This is special.
Yeah, but
God, how hypocritical. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but Zach, they all have that look, though, right?
No. Hey, bro, I agree with you. I'm just saying. I can see the Jag Sib guys, like, they're all full of shit. Like, I can just see them, like. You know what I mean? They can, you know. So I don't know. It's funny how that can turn around. But no, I understand exactly what you're saying. They're gray, tends to be a little lighter than normal. I understand. But it's funny because I honestly believe that if you didn't tell me that Sophie was red when she was born, I could have guessed that without a doubt.
I can show you pictures of her. And you know what's funny? Because you catch her in the right light, she still kind of looks a little red in certain ways. But, yeah, Sophie was bright red when we got her. And I did not have her when she was a baby. Like, she was 6 foot when I got her. So,
another distinguishing feature that seems to be with these line-bred, red-phase coastals is that their head pattern tends to get washed out. And it's kind of more reminiscent of those southern range coastal carpets. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
I guess if we're going to use a term, I'm going to throw out Brisbane because that's the only southern locality coastal I know. But yeah, it's just their head pattern. Like, there's nothing definite. It's just
it fades out.
But the scales.
But isn't the problem with that theory though that the southern locality carpet coastals weren't in the state to be mixed into that line?
And you're telling me that nothing could have been snuck in.
Do we really know what we had in the old days?
Allegedly,
allegedly.
I mean, we just
look. I don't know what we got or we don't have. I'm just going by what the people that researched it have told me. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm only going by what people told me.
Well,
and
before the 90s and before people started caring, didn't they just grab any carpet python and throw it in a box? Or wasn't it just like a carpet python? There's a reason I can't track the Hycons past Dave Prada. Because he brought them in from Queensland, and he was just calling them Queensland carpets. And that does me no good. So, yes,
well,
good job.
The same theory applies to the Athertons, right, Dave? I mean,
exactly.
You know, somebody
We had a range map. It just got lost.
Allegedly, we had a range map.
It just got lost.
All right.
It was drawn with crayon on the back of a placemat.
Look, man, at the end of the day, you can believe who you want to believe or not believe who you don't
want to believe.
And some
I'm making
will...
up stuff of how I got things. Like, I went over there with a boat and a spear gun.
how I got
some,
it.
Some people choose to believe certain people to justify what they have and disagree with other people to justify what they have as well. You know what I mean? Rather than just say, that's a whole nother subject that just, just drives me insane, because at the end of the day, it's just a snake in a box, man. You're going by somebody else's word. You know, it's seriously. I mean, you're going by somebody else's word, whether it's, the Dave Prada, the closed tools or whatever, you know. And it's a shame because, they have to be from somewhere. So at some point we had locality carpet pythons, and the idea that somehow that they're like, oh, my God, that's such a rare thing. It's just bonkers, man, because they came from somewhere. It wasn't like there's like a magical spot where all these carpet pythons are just together and we say, okay, well, these aren't any locality. They're just kind of, because of the
Gennaro
way. But because of the way things are and the way things, legally, people kind of lost or didn't give full information, I don't know. But at the end of the day, man, it's just, you're only going to go by somebody's word. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody's going to tell you that the story. And that's what you should pass along, I don't know if these are Atherton carpets or not, but guess what? This is the story that I got, and this is what I'm sticking to. So, at the end of the day, yeah, they are. That's what I think they are, because that's what I told
them.
That's
exactly what I'm doing.
And this is what the – and even if it's not, say, a locality type of thing where you can't, we don't have a range map, but – aren't you just keeping that line going? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're just saying, okay, well, these were something special to somebody. How is that different from saying that I want to keep Madame Blueberry's line going? I don't see the difference,
True.
So.
Wow, we spent a lot out from like three different directions.
Yeah, we did.
These are all topics that should be saved for round four.
Round four.
Because I have some issues with the locality carpet situation, and you guys know that.
Yeah.
So, in terms of longevity of the project, I'm not going to get into that now. But I have issues with that. So, save that. We should save that. Write that down.
Okay, I'm going to write it right now in my book. Locality carpets, how do you keep them from becoming retarded snakes?
Pretty much.
You can't. Underline.
It's funny, because if you look at these Atherton carpets and their lineage, mine are fifth generation.
Inbred, yeah.
Sibling pairings.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I've been looking up like livestock books, and I've been like reading papers on inbreeding to see how you can take a small population after a bottleneck and then recover it. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we have to do.
You have to outcross, otherwise you are going to have issue. I mean, there's a reason that what is so sought after right now is outcrossed granite. It's because the granite project collapsed because all of a sudden Will Leary started hatching them out with no freaking eyeballs. That's a problem. That's
not supposed to
happen.
I think when you put a morph into it, you're already dealing with something. You're already dealing with something that's not.
Yeah.
It's already not supposed to be. It's a freak of nature.
The morph just exacerbates what's already there, and especially a recessive, because now the need and the wants to breed sibling to sibling to sibling to sibling, the mother to father to mother to daughter, all that crap, is just that it's so driven that the first thing you do is you produce the granite. The next thing you're going to do is the first breeding you do with it is back to one of its parents. And then after that, it's just crossing siblings. So there's no outcross at all.
Well, what we should do?
The first thing
want
to do is just – what?
I was just going to say that one of the things we should do is – because I've often wondered why this topic wasn't brought up on other radio shows when I used to listen to them, because I would hear these subjects come up. And I think that maybe we should talk a little bit about how, like, I tried to hit on it with a few breeders, but I think they kind of, like, don't get into details with it, but setting up a breeding project, you know what I mean? Because somebody that's new and getting into it, that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to breed. How do you manage a project, you know, what would be the ethical, correct, whatever you want to say, way to manage a project? Especially when it's something like recessive. I mean, codom is easy to cross out because you get that instant satisfaction. But people that are breeding a recessive gene, you know, again, they want that. You see that in the ball pythons a lot. I can't say that's the case now, but I know a couple years back that codominant genes were the ones that everybody seemed to work with because they got that instant gratification, you know.
One codom boy and breed it to 10 girls.
Yeah,
so,
I went to spend X amount of money on this thing, and I want a return on my investment, so I'm going to, you know, I'm going to breed it to this, and I'm going to get, hopefully, you know, a whole bunch of these here. This is what I'm going to do, you know. But I think that, you know, we should put that information out there for somebody who wants to do it the right way and, you know, not make their snakes not have eyeballs. But I think when you take the morph and then you breed it, and it's all, you know, like, who knows what's tied to that granite gene. And maybe you can outcross it out, which seems to be the case, because the crosses, like the granite jags and granite zebras, don't have the same issues. So
yeah, they don't have eyeballs.
Influx of new genes. It's kind of solving the problem that started in the first place.
I think of, like, I think of a project like, I don't know. How do you take, like, rough scales? How do you outcross something like that? That really, I mean, in the wild, aren't they breeding to each other anyway?
Well, the problem is that I think weren't they technically declared extinct in the wild just because of the population number is so small that there's not enough genetic diversity even in the wild. Plus, all the rough scales in captivity stem from, what, two pairs? So there's no real genetic diversity anymore. There isn't.
All right.
You're breeding siblings to siblings. Even if you get it from two different clutches, you're breeding siblings to siblings, cousins to cousins. It is what it is. So to think that we're not going to hit a problem with the rough scales in the near future is living stupid. Something is going to happen, and it may not be as major as like missing eyeballs. It might start be like, you know, tail kinks or something like that, or heaven forbid something crops up like an albino rough scale. Now we're really screwed because now we're just going to keep crossing back and back and back. There eventually will be an issue.
If only we had these things called pedigrees to see how closely related everything was.
You read the story about how they caught the damn things. You know exactly how closely related they are. They're pretty fucking close. But
okay, so what about the animals that come from them? Can we trace it back to the animals that were in Australia and then got legally imported somehow to here?
I think there's technically two lines of rough scale. The ones that were, in the United States at least, the ones that are as part of the zoo over with Terry, and then the other ones that somehow managed to find their way here via other means. So
no,
those,
I think
the only two lines.
They're the same.
They are? Then screw it, and we're done. So, yeah. It's over.
Yeah,
it's over. It's completely over.
Line.
The only way to possibly infuse new blood into the rough scale projects would be if someone went out to that freaking ravine that they live in and managed to grab another one. But
you know, that, an interesting look on inbreeding in living populations of animals in the wild could actually be examined through the cheetah. I did a little research about this while looking up inbreeding, and apparently, I believe it was after the last ice age, there was a genetic bottleneck in which most of the African cheetahs were wiped out, or what is now the African cheetah were wiped out. And what's going on now is that the few remainders from that portion of time have just been inbreeding in the wild. And now we've got cheetahs that they aren't producing as well. They're productive down. The offspring a little bit weaker. I believe the Warrens are more common. Am I right in that, Zach?
No, you're totally correct on that stuff, man.
Cheetahs have a lot of issues, especially if you go down to the subspecies
not,
of the
they're
kings.
They're not the only species. Yeah, that's not the only species. I mean, one that's even worse than that is the Tasmanian devils.
They're so
genetically similar that they are the only species of animal in the world to have a contagious cancer. They're cancer cells that happen to grow on their face, of all things. If you know anything about Tasmanian devils, they fight a lot. And what they're doing is, because their blood and their tissues are intermingling, and because they're so genetically closely related, they're not rejecting each other's cancer cells. And so what's happening is it's just spreading like wildfire. So that population has been decimated down to almost practically nothing at this point, which is going to make the problem even worse. Unfortunately, it just seems like there is some species on this planet that are just hell-bent on going extinct, man. You know what I mean? Like, just
like the panda.
Like the panda.
They didn't help us at all. Yeah.
The panda, they don't even know how to breed with each other.
Oh, they
they're a disaster. Oh, man, I don't even know why so much money's being spent.
Just because
the whole caveat to this is that if mammals in the wild, which if somebody can shine more light on this, please do, are inbreeding and surviving, and mammals, I've always been told, are more susceptible to inbreeding depression and issues, then we can certainly manage our captive reptiles, which don't seem to have as many issues. That could also be due to the fact that they aren't as responsive to, say, a mammal. But I guess it's the elephant rant there. Just we can. There's hope that we can make things work with our captive population of animals if we manage it correctly.
It's still in the genetically best interest to outcross.
But with certain populations that we haven't kept, we only have like the rough scales. We can't. How are we going to outcross those?
No, well, after a certain point,
then we shouldn't be breeding them generation after generation after generation after generation. That's it.
That's gonna stop.
What? You know what I mean? That's the problem.
I was once told that if you're going to line breed animals, the best way to do it is to get a good number of animals from within that line, but ensure that the pedigree branches still, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I'm going to need to talk to this person again to grasp it fully, but that still is allowing for a certain... enough to keep things chugging along.
Yeah. I mean, all you need is, like, one... out. Like, right now I have my Hycons, and I really don't want to breed my Hycons back to their father, but I have a Hycon tiger who is somewhat related but has also been outcrossed because she's been tangled into the tiger line. And I'm willing to breed her to my Hycons, and then I'll get some babies that have been outcrossed that I can breed to some of the other ones. It's to keep the line going, but to not I'm not out there to make more Hycon tigers. I'm out there to keep the Hycon line going. So that is is the project that I have coming up. But you're exactly correct. You can't get, because you're line breeding, you can't get really too far away from it without having to come back. But you can use new things in it that still keep what you need, fresh genetics in the bloodline.
Yeah, but when you're talking about Hycons, you're talking about specific work that you're aiming for, that's one thing. Mm. But when you're talking about localities and you're saying, okay, these localities, Palmerston jungles, right? You have this nice dorsal stripe, you have this nice golden color, reduced labial markings, right? Awesome, right? And you're looking at these animals, and let's say only three, four came into the country. you have that little genetic pool to somehow make, what, five generations of these things about potentially inbreeding and causing more issues and everything else. And God forbid you take it to another animal now or take it to another jungle that looks really similar to it. You can't do that because, oh, man, now it's not a pharmaceutical. And you can't call it a pharmaceutical. You know, you can't out. That's what I'm saying. That's my biggest problem with locality is that you cannot outcall.
Well, have you seen major things with the localities of green tree?
Yeah, but
I mean,
here's the difference. We're still getting green trees in, okay?
That is true. That is true.
So, which will change, I guarantee you. And it's going to change a lot sooner than we all hope and we all think. Those borders are going to close, and we're going to be stuck with what we have. But that's a kind of a different situation because, you know, you're getting new genetic stock coming in freaking every other month, practically. You know what I mean? It's a totally different situation. When they talk about something like carpet, something that comes from Australia, obviously they're dealing with a genetic pool that's a lot smaller.
Yeah. Cool. What about this? What if say four different people started off with some sort of locality covered by them, uncrossed, straight from the wild? Four different people. Each person breeds, say, five or six generations descended from that pair. All four taken up, and they begin inter. Diversity.
Hello?
Yeah.
There?
I think we. Dave, you there?
You there?
Yeah, there you go. You were talking and then
you
just kind of faded out.
Yeah, you're cutting
out.
You're
saying
out,
something about genetic diversity, something like that.
You started falling asleep.
Eric's so gone. Eric's like,
Eric is gone. I think we should save all this stuff for the next round.
Yeah.
So
that'd be good. Yeah.
I think that's it, Eric.
Oh,
let's do the rundown and get the hell out of here.
You know, it's funny because this is like totally like a prelude to what's going to happen on Friday. Like, oh,
I know.
No. I already said I'm drugging the two of you this way. That it's a nice, calm, easy trip down. So
it's never calm.
Coffee.
I'm warning you. I took some ZQL the other day. I was awake for the next 12 hours.
Oh, No.
You're stuck with
no. No, I'm bringing. I'm going to the lab tomorrow, and I'm getting rhino tranquilizer. I may actually kill the both of you.
Maybe we should just
at.
Put Owen to sleep so we can all talk next.
Yeah, really.
But okay. Wake me up when we get there. I'm cool.
Say, oh, wait, just take this. Take this, buddy.
Sweet. All right.
All right, let's run it down. First off, hey, you two guys, throw out your stuff. And, Zach, you got some cool snakes coming up to sell. And, Dave, you got a cool website to pimp out. You don't have anything yet.
There with that.
So, pimp it out. Go ahead. Go for it. Go ahead, Zach.
All right. Check me out, man. I'm over on Facebook under Dark Side Exotics. That's two words, Dark Side. You check me out there. I have my Tiger Jags coming up. They already, all three of them, ate three times a piece already. They're rocking it, so... one of them had its second shed already, so they're doing pretty good, and they should be going up soon. I'm just keep an eye on them for a little while longer, and then I'll probably put them up for sale. And I have a slew of jungles that should be going in the next couple months. So hopefully by Tinley, everything will be ready to be up for sale. I also have some breeders I'm going to be selling as well. Hit me up over on Facebook. You can get me at Zach Baez, that's B-A-E-Z, or you get me at Dark Side Exotics. Either way, you're going to find the same person. So any questions, comments, if you want to cuss me out about the Jackson thing, dude, have at it. I'm ready to debate that until the end of time because I think it's ridiculous. So, you know, if that's something you want to do, hey, man, I'm cool with that. I'm down with the discussion. So just hit me up.
That's it.
There you go. All right. How about you, Dave?
All right. You can check it on my website at www.kellyherp.com. Kelly is spelled K-E-L-L-E-Y. Remember that second E. You can also find it on Facebook, Kelly Herpiculture. I've got a heavy class load coming up this fall, so bear with me. I'm going to try to keep this updated as often as possible. I've got three potential collectors. Maybe we'll be able to hatch out some carpets. Stay tuned. You want to hit me up? I love talking snakes. I've got an iPhone. I got no life. That means I can talk. So hit me up whenever.
All right.
Okay. Oh, man.
Cool stuff.
Just let him go. Just let him go. Just let him go.
Oh,
Eric,
man.
Let's go.
Let's go. I'm not muted, right? You can hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Sometimes I don't know. All right.
I know.
Let's go. We got the forum, which we've given much love to tonight, MorelliaPythons.com. Go over there, check it out. We also heard from Buddy, iCast, this weekend. If you can make it, you should definitely head out. You're going to meet up with some awesome people. Rico and Trooper Walsh and Nick Button and Buddy and all these cool guys and Owen McIntyre and
goddamn right.
he's like a rock star in the
I am
world. So
I am. I come with an entourage.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
Wait, we're Owen entourage?
Shut up. Just let it go.
Wait a minute.
Just let it go.
No, his entourage
Eric,
is Hoff.
Eric, keep going. No, keep going.
He's got the Hoffman entourage. Anyway. MorelliaPythons.com. You can check over on MorelliaPythonRadio.com. That'll link you out to all of our, you know, iTunes and Facebooks and all those forums and the past guests and all that kind of cool stuff. So go over there and check that out. The only other thing that I have is ebmorelia.com. Go over there and check it out. If you want to get in contact with us, you want to talk about a guest coming up on the show, got a question for somebody that's coming up, by all means, you can email us at info@moreliapythonradio.com, and we'll get back in touch with you. I think that is all I have. I'm trying to think of who's coming up. I know we're going to be doing some shows from the show, let you know what's going on. We'll probably try to touch base every day and give you an update of what the happenings are. When we come back from iCast, we'll let you know what we thought was cool and rub it in your face because you didn't come.
Yeah. Suck it.
Yeah, exactly. And then after that, we have, I'm not sure the order, I think Chuck Vogel comes on next, and
nice.
The chondro breeder.
That'll be cool.
And he also does a symposium in Costa Rica that
wow.
To talk about.
Dude,
and,
I'm going to that. I'm going to that.
Yeah. Their symposium is takes it to the next level where they not only have a symposium, but they go herping in Costa Rica.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. Looking forward to talking to him. And then after him, we have Rob Stone coming up.
Nice.
Works with, I think, Dave, that's your favorite species, is the rhino rat.
Oh, there's still Alma Harris, too.
Yeah, he works
Wait,
with a lot of
you mean
cool...
like rough-nosed green snake? What?
What's that?
Nothing, just keep going. Just keep going. It's too late now.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, he's going to be coming on. He's worked with some different types of scrubs, and should be exciting talking to him about the cool stuff that he has going on. And that's all I got. Go ahead, Owen. All right.
So what we got is definitely go to rogue-reptiles.com. Check out all the latest happenings at Rogue. Find Rogue on Facebook if you're interested in a baby. We have a gallery over there called The Babies for Sale or Snakes for Sale. Check out all the new Super Caramels. We'll be adding a bunch more as they get ready, as well as the Tiger Clutch as we split it off. We will be at iCast with Eric, so definitely come, stop by, hang out. We love talking to everybody. that's pretty much all I got. Stay tuned for future show dates there. They'll be announced on RogueReptiles.com. So I guess what we'll say is thanks for listening, and we'll catch everybody at the first show that we do from ICAST, and we'll catch you around that time for some more Morelia Python Radio. Good night.
Better be there.